following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Large black coffee.
Do you mean a venti?
No, I mean a large.
Venti is large.
No, venti is 20. Large is large. In fact, tall is large, and grande is Spanish for large. Venti's the only one that doesn't mean large. It's also the only one that's Italian. Congratulations, you're stupid in three languages.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Now, why do you bow for that guy?
Because he's the king, and he rules the entire realm.
Oh, my bad. Is that what he is, or isn't whacking it to The Sims?
Paul Perillo.
You know what I used to eat for breakfast? Cocaine. You know what I used to eat for lunch? Cocaine.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it cocaine?
And Andy. And Andy?
The sun is shining, but you have lost the ability to take any joy in life.
Andy Hart.
You're just a miserable dick now. You're mean to everybody.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
I call myself the Booby Watch. Even got my own comic book. Adventures of the Booby Watch.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
It's this fantasy world where anything is possible.
Sounds gay.
If by gay you mean the old English definition of fun, enjoyable, and carefree, then yes, it's extremely gay.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Things aren't that bad, and we're going to figure out why. But we are here down at Gillette Stadium, going to be here for the next 2 hours talking Patriots. The only place you can get pure Patriots talk. With some other things mixed in, but mostly Patriots talk. A lot of Patriots talk.
I think today it'll be
some
all
Patriots,
Patriots talk.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about this show veering off course today. There's enough to talk about.
No, you're right.
I'm not sure. How did you open? It's all good, or it's not that bad.
It's not as bad as
it's not that bad. He broke his record.
What exactly isn't that bad?
We're going to
usually
talk about
he waits
that.
Till Wednesday.
Cover words were appropriate. Pitiful.
Pitiful. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Pit stop.
If you want to join us,
pit stop doesn't even make sense. A pit stop is where you go to fix things. If you're taking it literally,
I said you
take a pit stop to get more gas, get new tires, get moving. Somebody was telling me that pit stop was a better play on words than pitiful. I think pitiful tells a story, and it has the little pit in it. You know, gives you that flavor of the Pittsburgh.
Right.
Pit stop's terrible.
Well, they certainly need a pit stop after that game.
They need to feel good, although Patrick Chung says it's fine.
Well, I'm not sure it's fine.
I'm pretty sure it's not fine.
What I am sure is the problems that we thought they had, they certainly do have.
Well, that's a good thing?
Well, no. We thought that they made improvement. We used that I word and the P word, progress, the last two games. And they certainly took a step or two back against the Steelers.
Along those lines, does this make you think more of Ben Roethlisberger or less of Mark Sanchez and Tony Romo?
That's a good question.
Because if you think more of Roethlisberger,
more
you say,
of Roethlisberger.
We just ran into a very good quarterback who's playing very well, and he took it to us. If you think less of the other two, it's more of a statement on your defense.
Yeah, I don't fall into either category. Maybe I think a little less of Romo, but not. I thought Roethlisberger was good, and he played well.
Yeah. But, you know, here's why after that Buffalo game, I was beside myself. It took me days to get over that loss. Now, I'm not going to go back on what I said going into the game.
You didn't think there was a chance they could lose?
Right. Well, I wasn't worried about it.
You didn't think there was a chance they could lose?
You know, I said, why am I not worried about this game? You know, that's the question that I put out there.
Then you yelled at Homer.
Then you yelled at Andy and I for saying, well, Fred, I mean, we think they're going to win too, but they could lose.
And we said, Fred, you know, they throw the ball now. They have legitimate receivers. They're not the ground and pound team everybody thinks they are.
You know what? That's the thing I think that the single most overlooked aspect of the Steelers game going in was just what Andy said. It's not that they throw the ball. They have been throwing the ball. Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown joined Mike Wallace. Now they have fast receivers.
Right.
And we kind of talked about it on Friday, not on air because we don't do a show on Friday. The Patriots should have hoped Hines Ward played in this game. That would have helped the Patriots because he's a slow, plodding receiver, especially at this point in his career. And the fact that he wasn't playing accentuated Brown in this game. I think he caught 9 balls, career-high 9 catches. And Sanders, those guys from last year to this year, and then Bill had mentioned on Wednesday, even from week 1 to now, improvement has been off the charts for those guys. They played well.
Yeah, and they that allowed them. The Patriots clearly said, we're not allowing anyone, especially Wallace, to beat us down the field. Well, okay, that worked, except you didn't cover anybody else in any other aspect of the field.
Right. And I think that the Steelers probably figured that out going in. I think they had a great game plan. I think they played really well. And I think, you know, you look at all the games where the Patriots found some sort of motivation going in and then came out and really played well. I think the same can be said for the Steelers. You know, going into the, you know, not that the Patriots said it, but other people said they're a one-trick pony. They're getting old and slow. You know, the Brady owns them. All those things, I think, they were listening to all year, and they came out and they just took it to the Patriots for 60 minutes. And I think that, you know, they really wanted this game. You know, they talk about, oh, the team that wants it, but they wanted this game more than the Patriots did. I
think that's a nice little story. Yeah. I think physically they did something I didn't think they could do. They changed how they played defense. And they said, we're going to become a man team overnight. We're just going to flick a switch and play man defense. And not only did they do it, they did it very well.
But I think they figured out that they could
both Tom Brady
the Patriots.
Yeah, but Fred, they've never really done it over the years. And
right.
I didn't think they were capable of it. That's why I said if they're going to win, they have to win a shootout. They've played the Patriots before when man coverage might have helped. If you had a guy that could shut down Welker, it might have helped.
But if they if
they did it, give them physical don't just say, oh, they wanted it more. Physically, they did something that they don't normally do.
I think they realized that they could do that because they thought that their offense could hold on to the ball and limit the chances that the Patriots had. And that's part of it, taking that chance to play man-on-man.
Do you think this is the only team that they played that they felt they could match up with man-to-man defensively and hold the ball on offense?
Well, whatever the reason is, Andy said this is the first time they've done it.
This is the most they've done.
No, but it has nothing to do. They made a change. I think Andy's absolutely
right. Give them credit.
They didn't, quote-unquote, do what they do.
Right.
That's why a lot of us had so much confidence going in.
Why do you think I'm not giving them credit?
Because you're saying they wanted it more, like it was bulletin board material, and that's why they won.
Physically,
bulletin board material had nothing to do with this
and
game.
Won.
See what I mean?
You're
not giving them credit.
You don't think they were motivated?
I think they played better than the Patriots.
I think the Patriots were motivated too.
On Sunday, they're better.
Obviously.
They were better.
Patriots hate the Steelers, right? You know, Brady hates the Steelers.
I hate it. I'm not going to be fraudulent here. I hate it when people dismiss the Patriots' wins by saying the Patriots were more into the game. They were more emotional. They didn't like the disrespect. They played the disrespect card. No, the Patriots won all those games back then because they were better than the other team. Not because they had more motivation in a Super Bowl than the Rams did. They played better than the Rams that day. They deserved to win.
I definitely think Pittsburgh came out with more energy in this game than the Patriots did. I know a team isn't flat across the board, but there's no doubt that just the Steelers were just flying around the field.
But why? Because they were better. They're faster.
Well, then why don't they win every game they play?
Because it's about making plays and matchups, and that's my point. No. You're not giving them the credit for physically making plays in a defense they don't normally run.
I didn't say Pittsburgh was the best team in football.
So you asked me
why they don't win on every game. Well, they're not infallible.
They won every matchup. They flew by the Patriots. They were swarming on defense. On offense, you know,
that's because the Patriots were flat. I think it's because the Steelers were faster.
I think they came out more energized. I think they were motivated. I think they had a good game plan. You know, whether or not, you know, they've never done this before, they have. I think they had a great game plan to beat the Patriots. They, you know, like Andy said, they tried something they've never done before.
But I just think, erase all that and just say, with the game plan, with whatever, they beat you. They physically were the better team.
Absolutely.
You know, I get sick of Bill saying, we got outplayed, we got outcoached in all three phases. I think that was the most accurate assessment of this game. They got beat in all three phases. They got outcoached because I don't think they expect. I think they were like me. Well, Dick LeBeau's never gone with the man thing before. Why would we expect he goes to the man thing? Well, he went to the man thing.
Yeah.
And this is
up
one
front,
of those.
They didn't just go with, we're going to just rush off the edge. They had ran a lot of schemes up front that gave the offensive line a lot of problems in the pass rush. I think across the board, outcoached offense, defense, special teams. They got their ass.
No doubt about it.
It was the most lopsided one-score game that I can remember in a while.
If you're Pittsburgh, you're looking back at it and say, we didn't even play that well.
Right.
We had 8 penalties. We turned the ball over on a ridiculously mindless interception. We missed a field goal. We cost ourselves chances in the red zone with our own stupidity, with false starts and stuff. Pittsburgh is looking at the Patriots are looking at this and saying, we did all of these things wrong and we were within 6 points. Pittsburgh is saying, we did all of these things wrong and we still were never in doubt of winning the game. So either side you look at it, you come to the same conclusion. Maybe it won't be the case in 3 months if they play again in January, but right now, Pittsburgh was better. Sunday, Pittsburgh was better.
There's no doubt about that. Is there anyone that's saying that they weren't?
Well, I think you're saying that with a caveat that the Patriots were flat. I don't think being flat had anything to do with Sunday's game.
Well, I think when the Patriots beat the Jets 45-3 last year,
think the Jets were flat in that game. The Patriots pounded them. The Patriots flattened them.
Right, but then the Jets turned around and beat them in the playoffs.
Right. I said I'm not saying that this result on Sunday means the Patriots couldn't win a playoff game against Pittsburgh.
I think there is some truth to sometimes on a given Sunday, one team is just better for a lot of reasons. You know, and I think in this one, there were a lot of reasons. I think it was motivation. I think it was game plan. I think it was speed.
Can I take a quick timeout?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that Phillip Rivers fumbled the snap on first down with a minute left and Kansas City had no timeouts on the 15-yard line? So all they had to do was kneel on the ball.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like he was coming out to hand the ball off to somebody.
He was. Oh, he
Why?
He was.
this is now a Norv Turner situation.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he coming out from under center to hand the ball off to somebody?
He should have been kneeling on the ball
in between the hash marks and kick a 30-yard field goal to win the game.
I mean, I don't know for sure. I don't know if they've asked him about it. I mean,
he certainly looked like he was coming away from the
center. But some guys take that big step back and do the kneel.
Well, they also want him.
You certainly shouldn't in that situation.
Sometimes, you know.
Right.
But
right.
They didn't need to.
I know. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
I just, I didn't realize the situation. There was no timeouts. First down, I thought maybe it was a third down play, and they were trying to get a first down. You know what I'm saying? So they could do that to end the game. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
They're showing a close up of the snap.
Oh, it hit his
right
bottom hand.
Oh yeah, he never had it.
It hit his bottom.
He never
hand.
Even had it.
That's a terrible job by him.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. I mean, that's even worse than I thought. Just by listening.
Anyway, so yes, the Patriots across the board, like Andy said, they just got outplayed, outcoached.
And then they allowed a third and 14
every
in overtime.
Facet of it. But, you know, like Paul said, you can look at it both ways. I choose, obviously, to look at it like as bad as they were outcoached and outplayed, they were down by 6 points with a chance to win. If, you know, it would take a minor miracle, but they had a chance.
Nothing minor about that.
Well, if you want to take the bright side, the one thing is they forced them to kick field goals in the red zone. That's the one, you know, allowing them. You know, I just looked. They got at least a first down on it. 8 of their first 9 drives, you take out that last one where they had a possession, and most of them were, you know, 5 first downs, 70 yards, held the ball for 6 minutes.
They even got a first down in the last drive.
They
got a first down in the last drive. After the onside kick, they threw a 7-yard pass, 2 runs for a first down. Then they went.
I think that was wrong.
Then they went 3-0.
They had the 2 sacks.
Yeah. But that he took intentionally.
Right.
Well, but that's the one thing. If you're going to go with the whole bend but don't break theory, well, I guess you could kind of say that happened.
Yeah, and that's why I say if you're Pittsburgh, like I think the way that we look at it, and we should look at it that way when we're on the Patriots side, we look at it as we played like crap and we still within 6 points at the end of the game. Pittsburgh is looking at it as we dominated this game and played like crap. They did a lot. I mean, they played a lot better than the Patriots, but they did a lot of things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They did not maximize their chances, and a lot of it didn't have a lot to do with the Patriots. I mean, false starts and holding penalties in the red zone. 8 penalties is way too many. They're up 10-0 in total control of the game, and Roethlisberger threw the ball directly to Gary Guyton.
I know Phil Simms is trying to. You don't realize how big these linebackers are until you're next to him or something. He takes the quarterback apologist route.
You know, so they didn't. They lost the turnover battle. I mean, I suppose the last play ends up being a turnover, but in the game, the Pittsburgh turned it over. The Patriots didn't. So Pittsburgh has to look at it that they could do a lot of things better than they did in that game. Now the Patriots had a lot more things they could do better, like maybe covering somebody in the middle of the field.
Right. So, I think it's one of those weeks where, you know, you just got flat out beat. But I don't think that it's indicative of, if they played 10 times, the Steelers would win 9 times.
No.
They probably split them, depending, on what's going on. But
It's another example of the Steelers were dead 3 weeks ago. There's not that many good teams. Everybody, the Ravens were great. Now the Ravens aren't great. The Patriots were great. Now the Patriots stink.
Right.
You know, the Chargers are supposed to be a contender. They lose. The Chiefs were dead in the water. You know, they 0-3. They lost, you know, multiple Pro Bowlers. Right. And now,
look what
now they're
to
back
the Saints.
In it.
They scored 62 points and then they lost to the Rams.
But that always happens. Did
Does
you
it?
See that? Teams after scoring 60 points are like 2-6.
Yeah, how many
something.
Times does that happen? Eight times.
Oh, no, it's like eight times since 70, but why do you lose after you score 60? I mean, is it just the letdown factor? Or?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like this week, all the talk was teams were, whatever, 2-9 off the bye or whatever. Well, that swung around the other direction. It was 5-1 this week, except
for us.
The one was Bill Belichick's team.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think it's one of those games where the sky is falling.
No, I agree.
But,
with
Fred,
that.
Aren't you back to this is the worst defense I can remember in New England?
Passing defense, without a doubt.
I mean,
I think they're pretty good against the run.
How would you ever know?
I know. It's true.
And they weren't great Sunday against the run.
But I just think you may never find out, because I think anybody who comes in with a game plan, we're going to establish the run, is an idiot.
Well, and that's you know, kind of the caveat when you're trying to like forecast what's going to happen in these things. When I write the preview boxes, if you want to come out and try to run the ball against the Patriots' base defense, you're probably not going to have a ton of success. But if you want to try to spread them out and throw the ball and then run out of those, you will.
Right.
And that's how the Patriots have had success.
And that's what Pittsburgh did on Sunday.
Yeah.
Except
and,
the Patriots didn't decide to run against Pittsburgh.
Mendenhall ran well on Sunday. I'll tell you, though, Fred, I was going to say, Fred, I'm pointing to Andy. Your boy, ball security is an issue with him big time.
Well, you know
he
what's funny?
He carries the ball out away from his body all the time.
One of my favorite things to see him doing is when he runs to his right, he gets the corner, and he's turning the corner, and he's carrying it.
Pumps,
it looks really
he
cool.
He punts the arm.
But it also looks like, wow, he's going to fumble. And he has a fumbling problem. I like guys who fumble, apparently, because Daniel Thomas is the same thing. Very productive, very good runner in this league. He's going to fumble a million times in his career.
Well,
I'm all about fumblers.
I'm about lack of security.
So
take
you know,
my pants down.
But what did you think about the juxtaposition? Yesterday, I wasn't here, obviously. Eric covered it for us. But Patrick Chung, we made a lot of great plays. We just got to make a couple. You know, it wasn't that bad. And then James Ahedebo saying, you know, we watched it and we're looking at each other. This isn't us. I don't know what we're doing. This is not how we play defense. You know,
well, James Ahedebo doesn't really know.
Well, apparently neither does Patrick Chung if he thinks he's a couple plays away from this defense being where it wants
to
be.
That's the thing. Well,
now maybe he's taking
Chung
a positive
has some experience a little bit with Belichick and the team, but
with bad defense.
Ahedebo doesn't know what us is. You know?
No, but I don't think you need. I think Ross Ventrone is capable of watching that film and saying, we sucked. For some reason, Patrick Chung is saying, yeah, it wasn't that bad. Why? I mean, is that just a confidence builder, a veteran leader, supposedly?
Well, maybe he sees what the mistakes are. Maybe to him, you know, they're evident and fixable. You know, it's not simply.
Isn't that called whistling past the graveyard?
It could be, unless he's right. But, you know,
you think they're a couple things away from being good?
The problem is the front seven.
Those things are Lawrence Taylor and Andre Tippett.
You know, it's
no. See, that's not fair. That should have been if those one of them. I'll give
Ty
you.
Law.
Yes, Ty Law, Mike Haynes, Champ Bailey. But I think the pass rush is going to start to. Not,
I just meant players.
The pass rush to me has been more competitive than the coverage.
Oh, absolutely.
To me, the coverage couldn't suck a. You know what?
I agree. The pass rush has been. Okay.
Well, you know,
competitive.
But okay.
NFL. They look like they should be on an NFL field. The coverage doesn't look like it should be on an NFL field.
No, and I
most
think,
of the time they're not.
I think it's so. A legitimate.
It blitzed a lot
I think it's a
too.
Legitimate question. Usually, I defend Belichick and his personnel moves, and you know, there's a reason for everything, and blah blah blah.
And you thought they were just going
to
cover.
But I think it's a legitimate thing to question the level of the guys that they have back in that secondary. You know, with the exception of McCourty, who you drafted in the first round.
Wow.
You know,
McCourty.
You know,
he's serious.
No, but you know,
no screwing around anymore.
No, with the exception of him and drafted first round, okay. But these other guys, I mean.
But why?
Well, in light of that,
if
we have to
take that a next step further. It's why are you drafting all these guys in the second round that can't play?
Well, yeah, but they're all gone.
Well, one.
Yeah.
I mean, Dowling's still here.
Yeah, but you know,
but we haven't talked about Baden yet, and the fact that you release him right before the you know on Friday, before the game, knowing what you just
right,
said, Fred,
right?
You know that you don't have any real NFL players behind him.
Yeah,
and good performance, bad performance are indifferent from Baden through the first month and a half. He was playing a regular role with Arrington and McCourty.
Right.
So what does that say? I mean,
you know, Baden must
have
been. It's
just a curious thing that how disgruntled and how much of a problem could he have been
right.
that you did this?
And it had to be something along those lines.
Well, that's what all the reports are.
Yeah, it wasn't money. It had to be that he was becoming a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even need reports.
When
you release a guy after a bye week, you had a 14-day window to do whatever you wanted to do, and you didn't do it until day 12, right before a game against a team that throws the ball, you know, in Pittsburgh now. Don't tell me that that was just, we made the decision, we're going to move on.
Right.
If you had made that decision, you make it 12 days earlier, heading into a bye
right.
to practice, get, you know, Molden and Adams up to speed.
Right.
This was a
sudden decision.
Last
That's
ditch,
it.
It's over.
It
was,
get out.
It was like they came in on Wednesday and went over the game plan and started practicing, and Bodden said, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. And, you know, Bill maybe talked to him a little bit, and then by Friday he just said, all right, we got to, you know, by Thursday he just said, we got to make a move.
Although his agent tweeted out that he's fielding a lot of calls, and they're going to decide what they do. It has nothing to do with money in 2011, which tells me when an agent tweets out they're getting a lot of calls,
they're not getting any calls.
he did clear waivers.
I know.
So, yeah. The whole notion, there was, the sycophants in the media were trying to indicate that it was a money thing, which, first of all, I don't understand why that's in any way, shape, or form a defense for a move like that. Well, it's a money cut.
It wasn't.
It wasn't a money cut. Second of all, it wouldn't be excusable if it were.
Yeah,
because the fact that he clears waivers means that the Patriots have to pay his salary for 2011. He gets the whole salary as a vested veteran.
Right.
Whatever. What is it? $3.9 million or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. 2 point something to go or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with money, but.
Good news is maybe he can hang out with Tully Bantakane, the $6 million men from that
but
terrible offseason.
But when you couple that with
so you can cash more checks without playing.
Hey, can you believe they gave us that money? That's crazy. But when you talk about that secondary, when you couple that with the release of Sanders, who right now, even if he's not that great a player, he would be a stabilizing force back there in terms of communication and being that guy in the locker room that's sort of, you know, a mature
But forget
player.
That. You don't think he's physically better than a Hedebo or
yes.
Sergio Brown,
oh,
the
I
two
do.
Guys who played on Sunday.
I do.
Even I think all the other stuff would be a yeah. huge help. But I think just physically,
yeah.
who plays the position better? I think he's better than those
yeah,
two
but
guys.
At the time they released him, I guess you're comparing him to Merriweather and Chung.
Well, he's better than Merriweather.
And you had to have known you. I mean,
here's the thing.
Does Bill have no plans? I mean, he decides on a Friday to cut Bodden. He cuts Sanders not knowing. You know, I might cut Merriweather at the end of camp,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He knows what the situation
is. If he doesn't, who does?
You know, so we'll never get the answer, but it's
who's in the best interest of the football
team?
It's
a legitimate question. Of course it is. But it's a legitimate question to ask, you know, what's going on back there?
Jim Donaldson tried to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought up all the stuff. Post game, he said, you know, after you cut Sanders, and not saying those guys are great, I'm not saying
Bodden's Mike Haynes.
Now, Josh Barrett's been banged up. Maybe he is better. I don't know, but we don't know that. And maybe
Rashad
Dowling is better, but we don't know that. You
well,
know?
You knew that when you cut Bodden.
But he can't get on the field.
No, but you knew he wasn't going to get on the Somebody's going to get on the field.
That's what I'm saying.
Now we're taking Buck and Niner cast
you know
off
that,
Jags
you know
who've never started.
You know that Dowling is having trouble getting on the field. The timing seems so weird.
You also knew he was having trouble getting on the field in high school and college, and you drafted him with the first overall pick in the second round.
Yeah, it's a curious one to me, Dowling. But
it's why we're getting back to those stories of Bill the GM is getting criticized a lot. Bill the GM is not helping Bill the coach. Bill the GM this. Well, I think it's fair. You're never going to separate the two. All these calls for he needs help, bring in a real GM, no chance. Because you bring in that real GM, and the real BB will walk out the door.
Well, you know, I don't think that these guys that are on the roster right now are going to get that much better, you know, in the next few weeks.
No.
And they may not for the whole season. I don't think they're going to get faster. I don't think their coverage skills are going to all of a sudden. So this really, again, will come down to Belichick figuring out a way to hide the weakness of the team. The problem is the Patriots' weakness is the league's strength. I mean, it's a pass.
An interesting
way
That's
to put
it.
Point, Paul,
it's a passing league, and every team gets thrown on. Yeah, I know that. Otherwise, the stats wouldn't be where they are. But to be the worst of the worst is not good. You know, and that's where we are right now.
To be the worst of the worst.
Well, yeah, I mean,
is not
if
good.
If you want to say passing defenses across the league are really bad this year, you'd have a case to make. And then the worst of that is the Patriots. That's not a good place to be right
Didn't
now.
You start the show with it's not that bad?
Well,
now it's being the worst of the worst is not good.
But you've gone the opposite way. You've talked yourself into that it is bad.
But here it is. And again, you know, I know Paul will
got Brady. Woo-hoo!
Paul will take the other side of this. But as bad as it was, they were 6 points down with a chance to take the lead.
Sure.
You know, so
I think looking at it, and you're right, I will take the opposite side. But I just think looking at it that way, you're just fooling yourself because it was worse than it was. It was worse than the numbers indicated. It was a lot worse.
Well, that's
and
why
I'll tell you what the other thing is.
That's why it's something to grab on. It was worse than the numbers indicated. It was they were totally dominated,
But what
and
I'm,
yet
what
they were 6 points down.
But yeah, but I'm saying if you continue to think like that, you're going to lose every game. Because if you think that you were close, like Patrick Chung said.
I can think that way. They can't.
Well, evidently they're thinking that way. Because that's what they're saying.
Really?
That's what Patrick Chung said yesterday.
I didn't care for Chung's comments. So I like Chung, but and I think he was probably trying to say the right thing, but I'm not sure it was the right time for the things he said.
And I'm not killing him either, to be clear. I just think that if you think it wasn't an aberration that they only lost the game by 6 points as opposed to an aberration that they lost the game, period, then you're fooling yourself, because you unfold a game like that 10 times, you're going to lose it by 3 scores more often than not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the Patriots, I mean, they really only scored 10 points in the game.
Well,
and they were handed 7.
You know, one of the...
They did nothing on offense either. That's the dirty little secret that no one wants to talk about, is the offense hasn't done anything for 3 weeks now either.
Right, well, that is, we're going to get into that. But
back when I was mocked for writing, anyone notice that Brady's passing yards have gone 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
When you said it, it was worthy of mockery when you said it goes from 5 to 4 to 3.
Okay, so when I predict Kevin Faulk is going to have diminishing skills, and he doesn't, so we mock me. But when I correctly predict that the passing offense's yardage and production is going down the tubes.
Is that what you predicted? Because I remember you saying he's gone from 500 to 400 to 385. That's what you said.
No, I said 5, 4, 3, 2, dot, dot, dot. The coming.
No, you said it after the Bills game.
The one, and was I right? Oh, wait, so if I'm early and I'm wrong, I'm still wrong. But
so
if I'm early and I'm right, I'm wrong.
So
why is Andy always wrong? Because you are.
I'll let you be right now if you can answer one simple question honestly. When you made that comment, were you predicting that the offensive passing numbers were going to continue to plummet?
Yes.
Okay. He said yes. I gotta believe him. I gotta believe him. I'm not like him. I'm not gonna call him a liar.
And
he said yes.
Other issue I want to talk about today, it's probably down on the depth chart a little bit here of our issues, but now when Taylor Price even gets on the field, Brady makes a terrible throw. Should have been a touchdown, or at least a big play.
He was wide open on that play.
And he has to come back for the underthrown ball. There's a conspiracy to keep Taylor Price down here.
One of my friends made an interesting point about that.
Circle jerks?
We've been talking about the Brady thing. The Brady...
There's a positive side to that.
Okay, I look forward to it.
No,
hopefully it's better than the positive side.
Well, I think he's
going to
supplant Ocho next week.
Here's the reason.
I think that's going to happen.
But I'd like him to supplant, somebody who plays.
Here's the reason.
Well, I mean, you have to make baby steps first. You got to get on the field.
I'm not sure Brady likes him.
No, but here's the thing. With something like that, where he was open, we always talk about Brady. A guy has to earn Brady's trust. Well, I think when they look at that film, Brady's going to see he missed that guy. The guy was open. I should have hit him. It's on me. It might be a little bit more of a motivation for Brady, maybe to look his way another time, give him another chance, because that wasn't Taylor Price's fault. That was my fault, and the kid deserves another chance, as opposed to why can't this guy get open?
I believe all the crap. I don't think Tom Brady just hates him.
No, of course not.
Any ill will he feels toward him is born out of, he doesn't know where he is or whatever. He sees something that he doesn't like that's not ideal. But I haven't seen that. Virtually every time we've seen him, either on the practice field, the preseason field, or the game field, he's produced. Even Sunday, he got out there for a play, and he was open deep down the field for a potential big play. So while I sympathize with what Brady has had to deal with, it's like the parent who's with the kid all the time and sees the bad, and then you take the kid out and the kid's good, and everybody goes, wow, that kid's an angel. Well, no, the kid's not an angel all the time. There's things at home that you don't see. But with this offense right now, with the need, I think we just have to see Price get a chance.
Well, also, and I think the time is right for that, because I don't know if they showed it on TV, but I heard from somebody who was on the sideline that after Ocho ran that post play, and you know, kind of, I don't know if he wasn't going 100% or whatever.
He was. Brady he just blanketed.
Brady looked to the sideline and just was like, "You got to be kidding me." You
so
know,
maybe well, we are going to Joey Galloway.
I
want to
get. I want to get back to the Brady throw to Price, because I think that we've talked about since he tore his ACL how he doesn't seem to move around the pocket and step into throws as much as he used to. And I think that was the problem on that play. I think he knew he was going to take a hit, so he threw it on the run instead of stopping and planting himself and firing the ball. And you saw it squirted out of his hand. He threw a duck. That's why he underthrew him.
I think he said it's Price. If it was Welker, I'd step into
oh,
this.
Oh, stop it. I think he needed to step in on that throw, and he didn't. And it's very un-Brady-like, but we've seen that a little bit more periodically in the last couple of seasons since he got hurt. The other thing about Price, and I share Andy's enthusiasm for the player because we did see it in practice. I would like to see that. I thought that was a little bit more of a broken play. That he got open. Now, he did the right thing. He did his job. He got open. He made himself available to Brady when Brady was in trouble. I would like to see it look a little bit more conventional on a consistent basis, which it hasn't done for Ocho all year.
Right.
You know, it hasn't consistently looked conventional with Ocho all season long. It's time to see what Price can do, because I don't think Ocho is an option.
Well, I would like to see. Yeah, I'd like to see Price just run a 10-yard in cut. That's let him run.
Saying.
Let him catch the ball.
Right. Get him in the flow. Well,
that's what I mean. I want him out there instead of Branch sometimes.
That play on Sunday to me was like the one that Tate made last year against Minnesota.
Right.
You know
there was times on Sunday where I was saying, "My God, we look so slow." Even Slater. Same thing with Slater. Put him on an in cut and just get the ball in his hand. I want to see somebody run.
I'd rather see Price.
Yeah, I would too, but
You know what happens when Slater touches the ball?
Yeah,
the other team gets it.
I was just thinking speed. I want to see some speed.
Poor man, I really like him too.
You know?
Yeah, it sounds it.
Very nice guy.
It was frustrating. Some good news, Kevin Faulk looked good. I was shocked that he got out there and had so many touches, and, you know, not just touching the ball, but also blitz pickup. He looked the same Kevin Faulk.
For the most part,
you know,
he said he missed a couple blitz pickups. I think one of them was he stepped out and the guy
went
in.
But
I was a little surprised he looked as good as he did.
Yeah.
Because I did think he looked. Now, we also need to remember what he was. He was never electric. He always made the play and you said, he's really not that fast. So don't. You might look at him and forget what he was and say, oh, he's lost a step. He hasn't. He was never that fast.
Right.
But I thought, you know, just doing what he does, I thought he looked like pretty much Kevin Faulk.
You know,
the blitz pickup on the first touchdown, the one to Branch, was excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. You can't do it any better than that. And I think that's an area that they have struggled.
Right.
I think Woodhead has struggled in his blitz pickup.
And I think that might be one of the reasons why they were rushing to get him back for this game.
But even beyond just the blitz pickup, as we did in the read and react, Woodhead's been irrelevant. His longest play of the year is 13 yards. We looked, he had that in 10 separate games. He had a play longer than 13 yards last year. We're now 7 games in, and he has one play of 13 yards.
He's averaging just over 4 yards a carry.
He's not electric.
Woodhead.
Boogie, woogie, woogie.
When you get the ball in situations like he does, you should be closer to 6, 7, 8 yards a carry. When you're getting it in running in passing situations out of spread formations and you're a little scat back, you know, I think you should be averaging a lot more than 4 yards.
And didn't
you
feel like last year he would get a touch early in a game where he'd squirt through for 15, 18, you know, some even more, and that almost sets a tone? Or they don't have that spot.
And I know
right
the
now.
Ankle injury has hurt him.
That's fine.
You know, that
certainly looked hurt on kickoff returns.
That slowed him down. I think we got the answer to the question why they never use him on returns. He looked
awful. He's not a legitimate returner.
No.
Maybe when he can't hide behind his lineman, he's not as effective.
Which probably could be, I mean, you know, there's something to be said for that, you know.
But
gets us back to probably the news of the day. Are we going to address that?
Edelman arrested for indecent assault. I guess he was at a nightclub last night, and a woman accused him of touching her inappropriately.
Below the waist, apparently.
He was arrested and released. We'll see. He's denying it. We'll see.
Being arraigned today.
Yeah.
Now, when I originally heard this story, I immediately thought, well, that's probably why he was inactive on Sunday.
Right.
Not the case.
This
just happened last night.
Right.
So I am really confused as to why he'd be a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Unless he's not, you know, healthy.
Right.
But we can only go by the injury report. He's not listed on it.
Right.
You know, and I mean, even if you wanted to say, okay, he's Welker's backup, we don't need a backup for Welker in this game, just for returns.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Just for returns, he's worth dressing
over.
Because
we've seen him.
You know,
he's a good returner.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they could have used some special team spark. You know, that's one of those games where you're not doing anything on offense. You're not doing special teams kind of, you know, the AFC Championship game years ago.
And he's got a little bit of that in him. When they need it sometimes, he gets a nice little return that can get a little momentum.
They could have used something like that with all those kickoffs. I mean, God knows Pittsburgh was kicking off a lot.
Right.
He had a lot of opportunities.
I think he should have I was hoping he had his Roethlisberger jersey on at the club last night and just said, no, it's part of the costume. It's assault women. It's how it works.
That's nice.
508-3-2-9-8-0.
The truth is never me.
Trying to give out the phone number here.
That he was Roethlisberger?
I mean,
disguise?
That's what Roethlisberger does, right? He molests young women?
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Fact.
Web radio at patriots.com is the email address.
Edelman's been in more trouble.
They're stacking up on the phone.
That
here.
Is true. Edelman's gotten in more trouble for doing less than Roethlisberger.
Okay.
That proves
you're
just a star.
Is pretty bad. He's going to be a bushy one.
Well, when you have a state trooper helping you do what you have to do, that kind of, you know.
That's a good drop. I never heard that one.
What'd he say?
Roethlisberger's is pretty bad. He's going to be a bushy one.
Oh. What was I talking
beards.
About?
His beard.
Oh. The phones are stacking up, so let's go to them. Anthony is on Naples, and he wants to fire Bill Belichick. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys? Oh, I know you guys laugh, but I'm actually I
no, I'm serious.
Like, no, I'm where the tendon finally broke off. It's a torn ACL on my part. you know what I mean? I've just had it. I've absolutely had it. If you really think about this, theoretically, this defense should have been started to be rebuilt back in 2005, 2006. Where is it? Okay, we got an overrated first round pick in Mayo who never makes any plays. This all points to Bill. These are the guys that he picked, and they stink. They all stink.
Okay, I feel your pain.
Overpaid. He stinks.
Okay.
Where was he? Okay. Isn't he supposed to be a playmaker? Why don't I see him make plays? A supposed interception because he was pushed to the backfield by a double team. That was his last interception.
I'm with you, except for the Vince bashing. I mean, is he supposed to be a playmaker? He's a nose tackle.
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I've seen several D tackles in this league make plays. Come on.
It's true. They are now a four-man front. He has more opportunities. They are being a little bit more aggressive.
Okay.
That's my point.
Well, I wouldn't have re-signed him, though. That was my argument behind not re-signing him. Go get Peppers. This team needed a playmaker. Go get Peppers.
I agree.
But
you can find anybody to, like, take up space, apparently, like how he does. I'm sorry. Pay him, what was the contract, $50, $60 million?
Well,
I'm telling you, he's lucky my last name isn't Kraft because I would do something. I don't know what I would do. I would do something. I understand what your argument's going to be like. Oh, well, who are you going to find better? You know what? Sometimes it's addition by subtraction. I think his message is being lost. No, honestly.
You're talking about Bill now.
Oh, yeah. He thinks addition by subtraction, getting rid of Bill would make them better because he's just gone, even if you don't replace him. Now, I'm not mocking you. I agree with the criticism of some of his draft picks, some of his decisions. But you do have to replace him. If your last name were Kraft, you would have to fill that role. Now, would you go the dual route again and go coach and GM?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Here's a couple of scenarios. Just two of them I'll give you right off the top. If you know, my thoughts is either you probably can get Weiss back, put him as head coach, and get some sort of defensive coordinator that he believes in to rebuild that defense. Okay, because I like that theory of Weiss coming back. He's the head coach. He's got that bravado, and he works great with Brady, and the offense won't change much.
I recall when Weiss was here, people were criticizing him for overthinking it.
End around.
It's all about Charlie.
Resume building.
Yeah.
You were leading that parade.
But can I tell you what pushed me over the edge? Like, just hearing a little bit. Now, granted, it was off the radio yesterday, and it was apparently, like, off of Mike Hawley's book. That apparently back in 2007, you know, the scouts were telling Bill, stay away from Maroney and stay away from, Chad Jackson. Stay away from those two. And he decided, no, I'll listen to my friends and, you know, I'll do what I want to do.
Yep.
This whole time, I honestly thought that the front office was just lacking in talent as in scouting evaluation. Okay? But apparently Bill is too high on his horse to listen to anybody else. There's not enough people pushing him back and questioning what he does. He doesn't have respect in that office, and that's what pisses me off most. And this is the end result here. I'm sorry. He's supposed to be a defensive genius. That's ridiculous how bad they look. And you know what? When it comes to Baden, that's the guy he picked. You mean to tell me because of a disagreement you can't be the better man, maybe somehow make it work? You're telling me those two Jags are better than Baden? And if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm pissed off because you just pissed away $2 million. It's ridiculous.
More than that.
Well, Anthony, I think, you know, everything you're saying is a legit, you know, question. You can't, you know, but, you know, thanks for the call.
But don't you think he said he doesn't get enough respect? He gets too much respect maybe from the people he works with. That's what we've talked about before. The guys beneath him, Bill O'Brien, Matt Patricia, the scouts, Nick Caserio, you wonder if they are too beholden to their jobs and their loyalty to him to say, that's stupid. Or are you going to listen to the scouts, or are you just going to pick who you want again and we'll cut him in 2 years? I mean, does he have anybody that has the balls to say that? Because I think Charlie had the balls to say that.
Sure.
And I think they fought because of it. But they fought and they won.
Yeah.
I think somebody needs to say, are we going to listen to the scouts, or are you going to take Cunningham again? Right? I mean, isn't there an aspect of that?
Yeah, I mean,
are we going to go with their grades, or are we going to go with your grades?
We don't know.
Because if so, just let me know, and I won't waste 365 days.
We don't know how
days.
Many times Bill actually overruled himself and went with the scouts. We don't know what's going on
back
there.
But we have heard some
of those
stories.
We've heard often enough those stories that
and Michael Hawley's
overruled.
Book is now sort of shedding, you know, bringing that back into the spotlight. But we had heard some stuff, not from anybody that would know, so it's, you know, really speculative, but that the scouts weren't overly high on Dowling. And Bill really insisted on Rozai Dowling. And the scouts were worried about his health. Well, you know, you got two games out of him, you know, in his first year.
Right.
So I'm not sure that it happens enough. I'm not sure that people question him enough. Let's
that
put it that way.
That was a great call. That was a good
call. Well, that was I like the passion.
But most of it wasn't crazy. Most of it wasn't totally off your rocker crazy.
Even Fred said that. Fred said
the only
it was
thing
all based in.
Fred got mad at was when he said Mayo doesn't make any plays. Well, and I don't know why with the facts.
The only thing I got mad at was, you know, Vince is supposed to be a playmaker. I don't really think he's supposed
to
be a
playmaker.
Well, but
I think
that's this defense. It was supposed to let him have a little more fun, get back to his Miami days.
But I think
maybe we got to get him a washer and dryer so he really feels like he's back at Miami.
But I think the bottom line is the bottom line is though.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah, I'm ignoring it. The bottom line is
that was good.
Is what Andy said is okay. Those are all fair criticisms of Belichick, but he's still the best.
You is
know,
he?
Yeah.
Is his resume the best, or is he the best?
No, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, one way or the other, but at some point, your resume is bigger than your current, you know, performance.
Wait, do you think he's been the best coach in the last three seasons?
Just coaching?
No, everything that he has to do. Has he done the best job in the last three seasons?
No.
Is he the best GM?
No. But
is he the best GM?
No, certainly not. But I think
so. His resume is he's the best.
But I think
his performance,
I think,
is not
a total package.
And I think as a coach, you could make arguments on things like the onside kick on Sunday, where he's not making great game decisions every game.
Right. But I think everybody does that.
Part of that to me is when you're not dealing with the position of strength that you were when you had the talent.
The problem in
the earlier part of the decade.
The problem with
but that's why I think he's a great coach. I fall in the belief that his failings as Bill the GM are hurting him as a coach.
And that's the problem when you're assessing Belichick.
But you take both.
Right. But you can't say, my God, it's amazing what he does with the players that he has. But then it's like, but
why do they have the players
exactly?
That he has.
So that's why it's tough when you're.
But I'd like to see him have, you know, Robert Quinn, elite athletes, guy that can come off the edge and see what Bill the coach would do. Because I think that might overshadow. I think every coach makes bad decisions at various points.
No, I know, but you can't. But there's only one that's considered the best. I mean, like, we just flat out say he's the best. Well, there's other good coaches, too.
Sure.
You know,
well, we don't just say that.
No, but I'm saying if you judge it on the totality of what Bill Belichick has done as the Patriots, I think that's inarguable. I think he's the best. But I'm just saying, when was the last time he was the best?
2004.
Well, he's had some great games over the last couple of years.
And he's had some, as Andy pointed out, he's had some shankers that everybody else has.
But I think like the fourth.
You're going to swear again.
But here's the thing. The fourth and two decision, the onside kick decision, he'll never say it, but he didn't want to put the ball back in the other offense's hands because he didn't have faith in his own defense.
That he picked.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing.
And that he thinks is good enough.
Well, now, maybe he doesn't. I don't know that.
Well, then maybe he should stop cutting starters.
Well, you know, maybe what was happening with that guy.
But this is my point. Like, we blindly say, well, he's the best. Yeah. From 2000 to 2011, I think it's inarguable. There's nobody that's been better than him. But I don't think he's been the best coach since, say, 2006, 2007.
I still think he's the best coach.
Now, I don't want another coach. I want this coach. I know this guy's going to have me prepared more often than not, and he's going to win with less. But it doesn't mean that everything he's done in the last 3 or 4 years has been right.
But what about just the change factor?
Certainly not.
The change factor. Sometimes you just need a change.
Change for change's sake.
Yeah, I don't think we're anywhere close
like
to
the
that.
I think you're damn close.
Anthony in Naples is close.
Well, I don't care what the fans say, because if you do, then you're going to end up being
one of them. The fans are stupid. But
I didn't say that. I think it's what Paul said.
I spoke for myself.
No.
The Terry Francona thing with the Red Sox.
Now Fred's confused.
No, Andy, I was referring
to something else you said. Not that the fans are stupid.
Okay, what else did I say then?
Before that, I think that, forget it.
I wasn't saying that you said the fans were stupid.
No, I know, but it came out that way.
No, I said it.
You guys are confusing me now. Paul said earlier.
But I do think the change for change sake isn't that far away, and I think it could be as short as when Brady decides to hang him up.
But who initiates change?
I personally think it'll be Bill.
Me too.
Because
I don't think Terry Francona initiated change. It became clear he was not going to be brought back. Yeah, he said, I don't want to come back.
And I don't. Yeah, I agree with that summation.
I don't think that's going to happen here. And I don't fault Robert, because I couldn't make that decision. I couldn't say, you know what, enough's enough. I know we win 14 games every regular season, and I know we're in the playoffs every year, but it's time for a change. I couldn't do it.
There's no reason to do it.
And the difference between the Red Sox and the Patriots.
I didn't say that at all.
No.
There may be a reason to do it.
Not at this point.
To try to win a title.
Not at this point.
To try to fight. Because you can't. The thing that needs to be done.
The only way you can win a title is be competitive year in and year out. That's what they are.
Well, that's great. In the regular season, they're very competitive.
But are they competitive year in and year out because of Tom Brady?
But here's the thing. If you're going to criticize what the Patriots have done, then you have to criticize all but four teams over the last decade, because only like four teams have won Super. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody's system is wrong then.
No, I don't say that.
If you're only going to say you can put a blue ribbon on the system if they win a championship, then everybody's system is wrong.
No,
but wait, don't
you think that's not what we're
Colts,
saying?
And the Steelers that's and the not, Packers.
And don't you think some saying. Of that, though, is circumstantial? Like, I don't say the Colts system is wrong this year because Peyton Manning isn't playing. They suck this year because Peyton Manning's not playing.
A lot of people are saying.
Well, don't lump me in.
I know, but that's
don't
stupid.
Don't lump me in.
Well, this is the point.
Their system has worked.
Right, so how come it's okay for them and it's not okay for the Patriots?
Wait a minute.
Because Tom Brady's playing.
You're not indicting the Colts.
If you were the owner of the Colts, were you just blindly going to keep Tony Dungy forever without ever questioning him? You don't think he's a good coach?
I don't.
No. So
that's different.
So why is it? So you are saying it's different for other teams?
No. What I'm saying is, you know, people, for example, look at the Patriots' draft record and they say, they've got to change their philosophy. This is ridiculous what they're doing. You know, it just shows that they are wrong in their philosophy. Okay. Because they haven't won a championship. Yeah, they can win regular season games.
But that's not why they're saying it.
No, they're looking at all the picks that they cut.
They're looking at the guys that aren't here.
I know, but if they won championships, it wouldn't matter, right?
No.
Right. Yes.
That would be masking the problem.
Then I think Bill Belichick would get immense praise saying he drafts terribly
and
he still wins.
Yeah, but I've heard so many people say, you know, they say, well, why do you think it's bad? Well, they haven't won, have they? They haven't won since 2004, right?
No.
And that's the reason why they say it's wrong.
Well, I think it's wrong because Jermaine Cunningham was a healthy scratch on
Sunday. I hear personally more people like Anthony that are saying, not about winning and losing, but about this defense should have been overturned 4 years ago. We should be seeing the fruits of that now. And we don't. I actually think they've taken a step back from last year. I thought they had the pieces of a good young defense in place, and the hope was that all these guys hit and you grow.
Well,
now you've replaced them with JAG veterans who are done, like Sean Ellis, and you're done. You're worse off.
No, I can remember.
And now next year you have to blow the whole thing up all over again and start from ground zero.
There's no doubt that as early as 05, 06, the call was, we got to get faster on defense. Mm-hmm. We got to get faster on defense,
and the guys they drafted
are
watching the game on Sunday, like Andy just said with Jermaine Cunningham.
Well, you know, Pioli and
Pioli's on a 4-game winning streak and getting over the fact that they lost all their stars early in the year.
06, 07, 08, those drafts put them back. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and it looks like 09 and 10 are going to contribute to it.
Yeah.
Defensively, their drafts have not panned out. I mean, you can argue that Vollmer is good to very good, Solder's good to very good, the tight ends are good to very good, right? There's some hits there. Defensively, your hit gets criticized a lot because your hit is Jerod Mayo.
Well, he's not carrying the team. Certainly.
And the other part of it, I think that people
and your other hit went from a Pro Bowler to a
right.
I don't know.
Look, if you want to talk about one thing that if I could correct right now, I would do, it's make McCourty the player he was last year. Because I'll say it, I've said it before, I went into this season thinking that he was, okay, we've got that cornerback. The fact that they don't just screws up that whole defensive backfield, I think. I really don't
think it's the only problem, but everything else becomes easier if you have a great corner.
Yes.
No, but I think the other part that people are criticizing in terms of the personnel decisions and the drafting, Fred, and you're right to say that other teams missing on draft picks just as often as the Patriots are and whatnot, but the Patriots make it harder on themselves by continuously moving down and garnering extra picks and looking for value, their word, not mine. And the other listen, it's hard enough to pick good players. But the further away you go from the top, the harder it gets.
I know. All right, we got to get to some of these phone calls because they're stacking up at 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIAN is on the line. Hey, Chris. Shin.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Good. How you doing?
Well, bummed from the loss, obviously, but...
Sure.
You want to fire Bill?
No, I don't want to fire Bill. I don't want to fire Bill, the coach, but I definitely want to fire Bill, the GM.
Not an option.
Well, then he's got to get help. Can I ask you guys something? What does Ford Reese do?
Well, he's an advisor. He does a lot of contracts and stuff. I mean, I don't think he's very much in the decision-making process in terms of picking talent. I think he's more of a negotiator and on that end of the things.
All right, so he's not a talent evaluator.
Well, he is, but I don't think he has a lot of pull. I mean, he was making evaluations. He was involved in the draft process, but I think he's similar. He's just another voice. I don't think he's an overpowering voice that you might think of based on his resume and maybe even his title. What is his title? Senior football advisor?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably accurate. He's an advisor.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not like we haven't been talking about this, you know, for a couple of years now. And it obviously it starts with the drafts. And, you know, the most glaring need on this team for the longest time was an outside linebacker, pass rusher, like Willie McGinnis, like Rabel, elephant roll type thing. And, you know, he never came close to drafting one of those. And is the play not available? It wasn't the guy wasn't that they maybe, you know, might have thought of, wasn't rated highly. Maybe the guy went already before they picked. But it's like you couldn't find anybody in all that time, all those drafts that you had, all those picks that you had, you couldn't find one guy to fill that void. And I'm with you, Fred. I thought last year when they grabbed McCourty that, all right, fine. That side of the field is set, done, no problem. And the whole secondary basically has just been turned upside down and set. I mean, look at all the plays they released before the start of the season in training camp. There's no consistency back there at all. That's why they stink. Aside from not having the talent, there's no consistency back there at all.
That's true. It is not just a lack of talent. When you're changing this often and you have guys that are just thrown out there, that also is tough to deal with.
Thanks for the call, Christian. Yeah, I mean, you look at how great Belichick is, how great Brady is, how great the Patriots have been over the last decade, and then you look at the quality of the players that they have back there, and you do have to shake your head. It's, you know, what's going on? Why is James Ahedebo on the field, you know, other than special teams? You know, why are we hoping that Josh Barrett gets back? You know,
but you know what? And that's a great point, Fred. And you talked about earlier about if they were winning, people would overlook it. And you're right, they would, but it would be wrong to do so. It's like when you look back and you're like, well, remember when they went into the Super Bowl one of those years with Earthwind Moreland and Hank Poteet as their extra cornerbacks, like Phillip Adams and Antoine Molden are now. And I'm like, well yeah, that wasn't right either. Now, you got away with it because you had, you know, Ty Law and Rodney Harrison also in the secondary in certain years. I might be mixing up the individual seasons, but certainly Otis Smith, Ty Law, Asante Samuel, and Eugene Wilson and Rodney Harrison, those guys that did play in those games were a heck of a lot better than the guys like Kyle Arrington and Patrick Chung and Devin McCourty are now. So, you know, maybe that's part of it, but I don't think it was acceptable that Hank Poteet was signed off the street and played in playoff games 1 year. I think that's leaving yourself in a bad situation. I mean, you got away with it because of the greatness you had in other places like Tom Brady and you know, Richard Seymour, Teddy Bruschi, and all the rest. But it's certainly not a good personnel situation to have Sean Mayer closing out a game for you in Super Bowl 38 against Carolina, you know, at safety. That was a nightmare that night, if you recall.
Thanks for the call, Christian. Steve from Toronto's on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. I was all excited earlier, but then there was two great phone calls, and now I'm a little flat. Much like the Patriots were.
So they stole your thunder?
It's okay. I just want to say, I think, Fred, you're having a great show. Like, football-wise, you've been dead on. No disrespect to Andy and Paul, because they're supposed to disagree with you, but I think you've been dead on with just about everything you've said.
It's not that bad? Is that where he started?
Yeah, actually, it's not that bad. If you're going to lose, like, I agree with him. I think the team came out flat, and I think they did get out-coached. And I think that, you know what, he was right about the Steelers being tired of, you know, everybody's telling them, well, Brady owns them. And I think they were motivated, I think. And Dick LeBeau came up with a great defensive plan.
Let me ask you this, Steve, real quick.
Yeah.
What do you think of Pittsburgh as a team?
As a team?
Yeah.
I think they're a playoff team, but I don't think they're going to go too deep.
Fred doesn't think they're a playoff team.
They're a playoff
team. Fred thinks they stink.
Well, then Fred's a little bit off on that. Simply because they're...
You had to spoil it for me, huh, Paul?
No, well, I thought that, to be honest with you, Steve kind of threw a button hook at me because I thought Steve was going to say Pittsburgh's not very good. I thought he was going to say Pittsburgh's overrated. Now, so you kind of surprised me on that. But my point is, we don't think Pittsburgh's all that good, but it's okay that we got out-coached by them and we didn't put as much intensity into it.
Like, they came out flat and they got beat. It's going to happen. Now, the whole point that I'm saying it's not that bad is I'd rather they do it now than in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, I think we all agree with
that. I think mine and Andy's point is that I don't necessarily think you have a choice. I don't think it was the Patriots' choice to come out flat on Sunday. I think Pittsburgh made them look flat. And I think that has a very good chance of happening in January. That's the only thing that I think we all disagree on.
Well, it has happened in the last three playoff games, hasn't it?
You know, I don't think Dallas is very good, but I don't think the Patriots looked any different against Dallas than they did against Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. And that's a three and four team.
All right, I'll give you that. That's a good point. And I agree with the whole thing about the mystery defensive backfield, because I think there's Patrick Chung and a bunch of guys at this point, and maybe that's why he's over anxious. I noticed on Sunday that he played well, but he was trying to make up for everybody else at times, I thought. He was overplaying, and maybe he's over-commenting later.
Well, that certainly was a dumb play he made in the game. Late that personal foul penalty he had, that was just a dumb play.
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I think he was feeling that way, that he was trying to do too much himself because nobody else was doing anything.
Well, it could be, but that's, you know, one of the fatal flaws on a Belichick team is when you stop doing your job and you stop trusting your teammates. Maybe we shouldn't be blaming him for doing that, because he knows a lot more of what's going on there than we do, that guys just weren't doing their job, and then he felt he had to overcompensate. But that's, like, one of the big lessons of Bill Belichick is do your job. So
maybe
your job.
Maybe he should do his and pick some better talent.
Right? I agree.
I mean, that's him doing his job.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's no different than Antoine Molden not covering somebody. His job's to cover him. Bill Belichick's is to draft the right player in the second round.
Yeah.
Respectfully, yes, I agree with all this, but let's look at it this way. It's the start of the second half of the season now. I still want to win a championship. I'm sure everybody else does in Patriots land. How do we do that?
All right, we'll
score a lot of points.
Thanks for the calls.
You know what you said earlier about, unfortunately,
and he's pointing to me,
their weakness doesn't match up with the strength of the league right now.
Right, right.
But I also have my fears. Okay, so maybe they won't play a team that can spread them out in the postseason. But the Jets and Ravens weren't that team and beat you. It's almost like they're a finesse team that can beat other bad finesse teams, But they can't really beat the really good finesse teams because their finesse defense can't stop them. But they're also not built to get into a slugfest with a physical, right?
You're onto something here. And here's where I think. I mean, we know they are flawed in that defensive backfield. And they have to do whatever they can to work around that. But there's one area where I think there is time to correct, and that's the offense. And that's, you know, you got to get that going. Because if you can't get that going, then forget it. You know, like, you know, a good offense that could have matched Pittsburgh in that game, you know.
Or just doesn't go three and out.
Right. It wouldn't have looked that bad.
I think that's our trash talk today.
Yeah. It wouldn't have looked that bad.
More concerning.
Yeah. You know, they were dominated on both sides of the ball.
I think that's a great point,
Fred.
I'm with Steve now. I'm with you. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
I'm like Michael. I'm with you now, Pop.
We don't expect them to be dominated, Brady to be dominated, you know, and he was dominated. And that's, to me, the area where I think you can correct and they need to correct real fast.
I thought Tom put it perfectly.
Can they correct it?
Well, I think part of it is trying out Taylor Price.
They got to do something.
You know, we're putting our hopes on a guy who's never really played before, but I think you got
to
do something.
That's a first effort. You went to the left of the refrigerator.
You got to throw something in the mix here that hasn't been there up to now. And that is the only thing is they have right now is Taylor Price, other than bringing somebody in that's not here right now.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Tom talked about it after the game saying, you know, all right, the Steelers come out on that long drive, time-consuming drive, for seven. Well, how many times have you seen the Patriots said, okay, yeah, we'll see that and we'll raise you.
Right.
And they go right down the field and score.
They go
for
two?
And now it's game on.
No,
agree. They went out and went three and out. You know, and then...
And they never touched the ball again.
For all the things that went wrong in the first half, they find a way, to your point, Freddie, to only be down 17-10 at the half. Seemed much worse, but it wasn't. So it's 17-10 at the half. They come out with the ball. They put one drive together. It's a tie game halfway through the third quarter.
And all of
they went three and out again.
And all of a sudden, the game plan for Pittsburgh on offense might change because they were happy to methodically go down the field and chew clock and not go over the top. Maybe they feel...
Well, yeah, it's my butterfly effect. You never know how you feel a little, you call a little, and all of a sudden something, good or bad, snowballs in either direction.
Right, so I think that, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the defense and the defensive backfield. We should, but we also have to look at that offense as, you know, when all else fails, well, we got the offense.
Well, they
and that wasn't the case on Sunday. You know, so we got to work on that, quick.
You know who's better than you at your job as the leader of Patriots Nation, the homer? Did you hear Brady yesterday?
No.
He was really good when he said, you know, we're not going to sit around this week and listen to everybody tell us how much we suck and how much we're going to suck and how much this guy sucks. We're just going to do what we've done for years and it's worked for us, and we're going to go back and try to fix what is and it's true. I mean, we just spent the first half hour of the show basically saying why everybody sucks. Took us a while to get to Brady in the offense, but we got there. Everybody sucks. And that's true last week. But everybody sucks half the weeks on other teams, too. You know, Pittsburgh's had weeks where they suck.
Right.
And it really is just about any given matchup on any given Sunday, and if we can be a little bit better, if I'm Tom Brady, I can be a little better.
Right, he knows the plays that he missed.
He's good. He's a pretty good spokesman.
The other thing about it is, these situations are easier for the player because they can do something about it. They can go out and look toward the next game. As fans, we can't. We have no control. Mm-hmm. All we can do is look at it and comment on it, but we have no effect on the outcome. Whereas he really can. He can have an effect on the outcome, and they know what the problem is.
But even if they don't, they have something to fixate on. They have 3 days of practice.
Yep.
They have, you know, if you're Molden and you're getting beat, well, now you can fixate on the receiver the next week, what he does well. All we fixate on is, well, it doesn't matter. They suck. They can't win the Super Bowl with this defense because we're not sitting here breaking down our new job, which is, you know, I'm Hedebo. I got to cover, you know, the tight end this week, and I got to watch every step.
Right.
You know, you can focus on the small picture. All we do is go right to the big picture. Defense sucks. They can't win the Super
Bowl. And one other thing I want to point out, because I heard it on the radio yesterday, and it kind of got me upset. You know, I understand people criticizing Bill Belichick, you know, particularly for the personnel moves. You know, there's evidence of just some bad picks, no doubt about it. But I heard somebody on the radio say, you know, Belichick always, you know, it's always we didn't play well, we didn't, you know, and he's out there in the film room calling out these players for making bad plays. What about when he calls for an onside kick? Does he ever call himself out?
Yeah.
How do we know he doesn't? How do we know he doesn't stand in front of that team and say, you know what, I screwed that up. I'm sorry. I should have done this. Because, you know, I'll bet you that there are times where he said, you know, just taking a name, Hedebo, I had you in the wrong position. We shouldn't be. That was a wrong call. That wasn't your fault.
He does.
That's on the coaches.
He does.
I'm sure he does
I
that.
I think that does happen.
I know it does.
But I'm not sure it happens with decisions in terms of onside kick or fourth and two and stuff like that.
Maybe not.
I think you guys are right.
Yeah.
I think if there's a scheme that they put the team in and it was the wrong scheme, I think Bill would be the first guy
to
say it in the film.
Absolutely. I think you're right, too.
We screwed up right here. We thought we were going to get this. We got this. Give Pittsburgh credit, but this is not on you. You guys ran this scheme the way it was supposed to be run, and we just were in the wrong situation. I definitely believe
that.
Well,
he did it on the radio the other day. I don't know if you heard it, talking about, I don't know how it got back to it, but it was about the Rams in 2001 from the regular season to the Super Bowl. And he said, in the regular season, we blitzed. We sent an extra rusher 40-something plays on defense. And it didn't work. It cost us the ability to win that football game. When we got to the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, the first thing we did is enter the defensive meeting room and said, we screwed up the first time. That was dumb to try to blitz. We're not doing that anymore. We're going to bang the receivers at the line of scrimmage. We're going to play stout stand-up defense. And he said, we can win this way. I screwed up the first time. We can win if we do it this way. And, I mean, that's right there is calling yourself on it.
Right.
And I think the one area he doesn't get called on internally is personnel.
Yeah.
Because there's no one to call him on it. There's no one, I mean, to admit it to. I mean, maybe to Robert. Maybe he sits in it. Yeah, I screwed up that second round pick. But
yeah. But Robert doesn't know ahead of time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He's not saying, Razai Dowling, you know?
Right. And if he does,
right, then he's a meddling owner.
Right,
and
exactly.
Now we're mad at Robert.
And then Bill will get mad and quit.
Right. So, okay.
So he's damned if he does, and he's damned if he doesn't.
Call's still coming in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. I also want to get to emails, but let's go to Olivier from Virginia, who's been holding on. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, you know, I've been listening to all of the comments and your comments as well, and, you know, I think that even though it's sad that we lost and it hurts and everything, I think, you know, you got to try to take the best out of a worse situation. I think to a certain extent, that's a good wake-up call for everyone. It's a good wake-up call for Bill. I think that, you know, we can criticize him until we are blue in the face. But on the other hand, I think the guy is human, and I think the guy also needs help. I don't know how good his coordinators are. I don't know how good his staff is. And maybe we need new blood in there. That's maybe a topic to discuss. And then the other thing is that I think that the kids that are playing for him, you know, yeah, they seem to be green, and maybe, you know, they don't have enough talent, but, you know, we're stuck with these guys and we have to make the best out of it that we can. But, you know, maybe we're facing a situation where the talent of Belichick is finally meeting with the ability, with the lack of talent that the team has. And therefore, you know, he's got to create new schemes. And the only scheme that we can think about is to have a better offense. So I think everyone is looking at themselves, time to look in the mirror and see what has to be done. It's good for us to lose this game now and win the next one when it counts. Now, I don't know whether or not we will go very far in the playoffs, because at the end of the day, I think that this year is still a building year for us. Last year we thought it was, but, you know, I think we were
loading up to win this year.
Yeah.
I thought we had the best odds to win.
Yeah, we thought that when they brought in guys like Ocho Cinco and Haynesworth, they were going for it.
And so did all the sports books.
Yeah.
They have the best odds to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I'm not buying the building.
The
other thing, Olivier, I thought the Bills game was supposed to be the wake-up call.
Yeah. Well, how many wake-up calls do you need in a short season?
Right, you know.
I know, but we don't have the talent to only have one.
Yeah, okay, but you're right.
But wait,
they're not going to go 15-1, even though that's what I predicted.
Yeah.
And they have two losses.
Right.
Yeah, and I think with the lack of talent that we have with these folks, and they are young kids, and if you look at a business, you know, you sometimes need many wake-up calls for people to start realizing that they have to do their job to keep their position and to keep their salary,
including the CEO.
Exactly. But
well, because all the stuff you've talked about starts with him. You know, maybe they're too, the talent on the field is him. Maybe they're too green in the coaching staff. Maybe they need to bring in new well, that's him. That's his philosophy of only promoting from within and not bringing in outsiders, because he wants to maintain the same systems, his systems. So the mirror, the one person that needs to look in the mirror might be him. You know, all those wake-up calls in a corporation, sooner or later, the board of directors says, we need a new CEO because the CEO has lost it. He's reached a point where it's not working anymore.
Yeah, I agree. But if he really loves this team, and if he really wants this team to be successful, and I think he does, you know, he will look in the mirror and he will make the right changes, because I think he's the kind of guy that he is. I don't believe that he would have been successful the way he has been in the past if he hadn't had been the ability to reinvent himself and to challenge himself.
I think you're right on, Olivier. I think you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of people say, people have made the mistake of saying, oh, Belichick does it this way. And what we've found out is he never just does it this way. He always adapts. And I think he is smart enough to know, you know, if there is a failing, that he needs to correct it. You know, I can't imagine that he, you know, and thanks for the call. I can't imagine that he doesn't look at the draft picks that we're looking at and say, oh, you know, missed on that one, missed on this one.
Well, I think there are a couple things he always does, virtually. And value in the draft is always one of them. He's never going to take the extra, up the extra little bit to move up or even stay put.
But
he's always going to look for that extra pick and value.
Again, I think the value also is tied into evaluation. I think if he thought trading up was a good value for a certain guy, he would do it. But
I think to some degree, yes.
So it really does come. It's not the value philosophy. It's evaluation.
Right. I think he values picks more than the one player. I do agree with you. I think there's guys he would trade up for, and I think there's certain talents and everything that he would, but he always errs in my opinion, on the side of value, quote unquote, getting the best deal.
I think the percentages, you know, he's almost playing Billy Ball with the draft. You know,
what's Billy Ball?
I think Paul knows that, the baseball thing. What's that?
Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Now he knows the guy's name, Billy Bean, but he doesn't know the system.
But I think he's playing a little bit of, you know, the odds with the draft. And if you make the right picks, I mean, guys were there at the selections that they made that if they had taken them, might be contribute. You know, it'd be, wow, that was a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like there was, you know, the draft was barren in the second round the year they took Chad Jackson.
Right.
You know, there were guys there that maybe still on this team.
Was that the Greg Jennings one?
Yes, that's Greg Jennings.
So there you go.
Greg Jennings was taken, a pick later? After Chad Jackson, or three picks after, or something like that?
So everybody points at Clay Matthews, you know?
Well, there's a lot of different things that you can point to. I mean, one of the things I saw yesterday, I don't know if this was part of the Holly thing, but that he wanted to move, he was all prepared to take Dowling at 28 before they traded the pick to New Orleans this past year. I think I read it on Twitter yesterday.
That may have been. I think
that makes sense.
I assume it was and then if you think about it, so I like this player. I'm going to take him. Why are we so sure that he's still going to be there?
Well,
this is the part that, why do we always say the rest of the league doesn't know what they're doing?
No, but see,
only we have the guy evaluated properly.
See,
they made that trade knowing they could make a trade and get the player they wanted, Fred.
See, here's the way it works, though. Dowling is one of the guys that they would have taken at 28, but there's a group of guys that they would have taken at 28.
But my point is, if they didn't think they could get Dowling at that pick, they wouldn't have made the trade.
No,
because they wanted the player.
One of the group of those guys that we value the same will be there at the top of the second round, so why not trade out and get an extra pick? It's not just Dowling that they thought would be there.
But he likes him the most.
Yeah.
Because if whatever Paul read is true,
and I don't know if
he was going to take Dowling. So even if they're all fives or whatever he rates them as, that was the one he decided he wanted. So take him. It's only four spots. Just take him. Don't value that stupid extra pick so damn much.
And is that a good trade? Yeah, it was a good trade.
It was a great pick.
They traded 28, and they got a one next year.
Yeah,
they got
it's great.
I mean, that's fine. But my point is, we did it because we knew we could get the player, quote unquote, we wanted anyway, which you hear all the time with guys that don't pan
every
out.
Every draft room does that.
But with guys that don't pan out, we hear it for our guys, because we're always assuming that everybody else doesn't know what they're doing. That's the overlying, underlying theme, I should say.
I think they're just assuming that they know what they're doing.
No, I know that, but I think
what happens when you assume.
I don't think it's a judgment on anyone else. Their board is a little different.
I don't think if they felt that they could get the same guy, I don't think they would have made the trade. I think they feel like they can get the guy later, because we know that no one else has him as high as we do. They don't know.
And the other thing he always does, and don't say he doesn't always do this, is he always promotes from within. He's never hired anybody that wasn't part of his system. I mean, even when he brought in Romeo, he was part of the system. And that was a long time ago. I mean, they don't bring in coordinators and high-level coaches.
Well, they brought in Capers, but that was sort of
extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, you can stay here until you get your next job.
Or what Paul believes. But we won't get into that.
Let's go back to the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Andrew is in New Jersey. Hey, Andrew.
Hey. Hey, guys.
What's up?
How you doing? From Jersey, so surrounded by a bunch of Jets fans.
Whereabouts in Jersey?
Red Bank, over by Red Bank Middletown. So.
Okay. I used to live in Manalapan.
Oh, nice area.
That's when he was a Jets fan.
You didn't think Fred lived in the slums, do you? He's a man of privilege.
No, I'm privileged. I live on my high mansion castle. I overlook everything. So
nice.
No, just kidding.
So you want to join the crowd that wants to fire Bill Belichick?
No, actually, I love Bill Belichick. Been a longtime Pats fan. Quick question, though. That Welker hit this weekend, just wanted to get your opinion. I thought that was I don't want to say it was a face mask, but I mean, he almost took his head off. It was Clark, I think it was.
No, it was Polamalu. And you
Polamalu.
You can. Are you a subscriber to Patriots Football Weekly?
I am.
Well, you will see it in a week or two when your paper arrives.
Yeah, I saw it already. I downloaded it.
Oh, okay.
PDF.
Yeah, he actually grabbed him around the helmet with his forearm, never really closed his hand over the grill. So technically it wasn't a face mask. It was a head-hunting hit, no doubt about it.
But there's no rule it breaks.
But
he didn't get the forearm under the chin.
You know what?
Did you see what he did to Gronkowski? He jumped on his back, for crying out loud.
To me, on this one, this is Andy and I's definition of unnecessary roughness.
You know it
when you see it.
But they don't do that in this league because it has to be, you know, the exact phrasing in the rule book. I agree with you. I would have called unnecessary roughness on that play and just said, it's like porn. I know it when I see it, and that was unnecessary. He didn't have to do that.
It was totally unnecessary. It wasn't. It didn't break any specific rule. It was just totally unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, he had to take the play off, and it looked dangerous. I don't know.
No,
I don't want to say it's a penalty and start, you know, turning this into flag football.
I was just happy Welker got up because, you know, it looked like he was going to break his neck.
I mean, you can't replace those six catches for 36 yards with
up.
Just anyone.
Shut up.
But the real question I have is the one that I don't know if we're going to make the playoffs. I know that's a one premise that everybody keeps saying is that,
I think it's in question.
I don't.
I think we're just another 5-2 team. Now that we lost, we're just another 5-2 team sitting. I think Pittsburgh is wins wise, they're ahead of us, and a lot of good AFC teams, Buffalo, Jets, even us out. I could easily see us missing the playoffs, just like in 2008, where we had an 11-5.
I don't think there's any way we lose to the Bills at the end of the season, so I'm counting that in the win column. I do think there's a chance that they lose.
There'll be two games.
I do think there's a chance they lose to the Jets and the Meadowlands. That worries me. That one worries me.
I understand what your point, and mathematically, you are absolutely right, because you have two teams that are neck and neck with you right now. I mean, just no upset needs to be made. If the Giants come here and win this game, wouldn't be a stunner. Wouldn't be a stunner. I don't expect it to happen. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But if the Giants come in and beat the Patriots and the Jets beat the Bills, all of a sudden, it's a three-way tie. And by the way, you're third because you'll have the worst division record of the three teams.
Right. Thanks for the call.
And then you go and play the Jets at the Jets the following week.
You're only a game ahead of a three-way tie in the AFC West at 4-3. So they start to creep back into the picture. But I just want to get back to
it
again.
I don't see them going worse than 11-5.
It's not as bad as it seems, yet you just agreed with the guy who said they might not make the playoffs.
Well, I think the Bills are better than I thought they were going to be.
I don't care about that. How is it not as bad as it seems if you think the team might not make the playoffs?
Well, I think that they're
this
in
the mix.
This
is a 14-2 team from last year. The playoffs is a foregone conclusion.
Why you got
to
pick on
why
every
have to
single
go to
word
an
that he
makes? Why do you have to go to an extreme?
Because you said it's not as bad as it seems, and yet a little while later you're saying they may not make the playoffs. That's the sky falling.
I'm
going to give you a mulligan. You don't really think there's any chance they don't make the playoffs.
No, but if you listen to what people are saying, the sky is falling.
But you don't really think there's any chance they're not going to make the playoffs.
And then there's no chance they're going to make the playoffs.
No, see, no one thinks they're not going to make the playoffs. They don't think they're going to do anything in the playoffs.
Fred, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, that is the sky falling. With Tom Brady as the quarterback, you make the playoffs.
In a season in which you load it up. I don't care what anyone says.
If the Patriots are as bad as people are saying they were this weekend, then they shouldn't make the playoffs.
But
they're not that bad.
Fred, listen.
They're not that bad.
I just got finished doing the mailbag, Fred. We had one email after another, and all the premise of all of them is almost all the same. No one is concerned big picture about winning games going forward. Everybody is concerned about winning three games in January, and very few of those people, to your side, the sky is falling, very few of those people think they can beat three good teams in January to win the Super Bowl. But no one thinks they're not going to make the playoffs except for that caller.
One thing that the caller reminded me of, and I'm glad we didn't talk about it early in the show because it certainly had nothing to do with the game, but some of the refereeing calls, I mean.
Oh God. You're not going to do this, are you?
No, I think the Gronkowski thing we reviewed this morning, it was definitely a touchdown. Unfortunately, there was no way they could have reviewed that play.
That was razor close, though.
Would have been a blind.
I saw it.
It was
Andy and I said it immediately. It was a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a touchdown.
But it was razor close.
And you had to blind challenge.
But I think if they had a review.
If they had a replay to look at, they would have reviewed it.
Right. No, but I think, and if they had reviewed it, it would have been overruled.
Andy wrote this up for Take
Don't
Tuesday. Oh, it would have been a touchdown if they looked at that. Yeah. I think so.
The other bad call.
I never assume on any of the reviews.
But the other thing on that is, I feel like, They could have. Andy and I talked about this during the summer with the officials. Andy asked the question specifically,
and the guy gave me the right answer. Apparently,
right? He said, "You know, do you think on questionable plays like that, might you err on the side of touchdown, knowing that it's automatically going to be reviewed?" And they said, "No, we're going to call what we see."
And they should. That's the way they should.
Now,
do it.
I have
but
seen
had they
some
done
evidence
that yesterday. It would have been a touchdown.
I have seen some evidence that they haven't really followed that. I've seen some play. There was a play in the Carolina Minnesota game. That wasn't even close to a touchdown for Steve Smith.
And they called
it a touchdown on the field that got overturned and placed at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the officiating had a lot to do with that game either way. I thought there was some questionable calls on both
sides.
Oh,
no, it didn't have anything to do with the game, but I think that was a bad call.
I thought the pass interference on William Gay in front of our bench that Bill O'Brien called.
Right.
Was ridiculous.
Well, the flag came in like.
Well, I don't think the flag has been thrown yet.
and then
you watch the replay and you're like, what did they call?
And then I'm not sure, but again, it didn't have anything to do with the outcome of the game. But didn't what Polamalu did at the end of the game, batting the ball forward,
it's illegal?
I think that's illegal. Yeah.
But why wasn't
that called?
I don't know.
They didn't call it.
I don't know why.
But it is illegal.
Yeah. I think.
Pereira said after the game, Mike Pereira, Fox.
Did he say?
That's illegal. That's an illegal bat.
Right.
My question is, why is that illegal? But if it's illegal, it should have been called.
Because that's the rule.
Yeah.
No, I know that. But why is it a rule is my question. Listen.
I don't know. I wasn't around. Why is it 10 yards for a first down? That's the rule.
But
want to get mad?
Another thing, Freddie. Troy Polamalu, every single time they showed that play, whoever was doing the NFL Network, ESPN, whoever was doing the commentating on the highlights, what a heads up play by Troy Polamalu. It was dumb.
Right.
It was, you know what it did? It extended the game by a play. The only way Pittsburgh could have lost that game is how? If there was another play after that play.
That's right.
And he ensured that there was going to be another play, even with them not calling the penalty.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Why is he? Listen, I love Troy Polamalu. I think he's a great player. Okay, I'm not. This is not meant to bash him. He had
good hair too.
He had a questionable hit on Welker.
You're bashing the announcers.
Right. That was a dumb play.
Yeah.
It was flat out dumb.
And I do think that Nance and Sims were giddy that the Steelers won.
Nance and Sims were giddy all day on every play that happened in the game.
Yes.
I think they might have been nipping. Yeah, sucking back on the grandpa's cough syrup.
Fred, did you know that the Patriots haven't recovered an onside kick since 1994 in the playoffs against Bill Belichick's Browns?
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a long time.
And Bledos couldn't take advantage.
There's a shock.
Lucky
he didn't just give it back.
We'll get one more caller.
Well, he had just gone down the field to score a touchdown. The onside kicked, and he needed another
one. We'll get one more caller in before we go to a break, and then we'll promise we'll get to some emails. Paulie is in L.A. Hey, Paulie.
Paulie.
Hey, guys. Great show today, I got to tell you.
Thank you.
Want to fire Bill?
No, God no. But I do agree completely with your point about no one's arguing with Bill. And it leads me to this question. I think it was at the end of 2007, who left to go to Kansas City?
Pioli?
The general manager?
Yeah, Pioli.
Yeah.
I think he was the last guy to stand there and argue with him.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I remember when that happened, I think it was you guys were talking about, he was that player evaluator. He was the guy who was arguing about whether or not we should take someone or not. And I think that since we've lost him, or let him go, I think that, you know, we've lessened in our choices.
Well, he left in 08, right? Or no, in 09. Yeah. Pioli left in 09. And yeah.
Third season.
This is his third season. Is it second or third?
Third. Okay. Isn't it?
It's his third year out there.
So then he left in 08? I know it wasn't 07.
To me.
He left after Castle's year.
Was Castle's first year?
Yes.
Right. Was Pioli and Castle's first year together?
Yes.
That's
no,
the question.
He had been there a year.
Well, then No.
And then he traded for Castle. Did he trade for Castle right after he left?
I think pretty soon, yeah.
No.
Because this is Castle's third year in Kansas City. So if Pioli was already there, it would be his fourth year.
I think that's what, because Josh McDaniels left then too, didn't he? Or did he stay?
McDaniels left after the 08 season.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think he left at the end of 07.
Yeah, I think he did too.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was later than that.
Because McDaniels stayed an extra year.
8, 9, 10, 11. It's his fourth year.
Right. McDaniels decided to stay, Pioli decided to leave that offseason.
Okay.
Wow, right. We should really know this.
Yeah, Kevin's not helping us. He's on Julian Edelman's Facebook page.
No, his mugshot just got released, and it looks crazy.
He always looks
back,
crazy.
He's due back in court January 10th.
Will he be off by then?
All right, Paulie, thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Well, wait a minute. Why is he going to get canned?
That's what I said.
He shouldn't get canned.
Julian Edelman? No, of course not. Innocent until proven guilty. Well,
even
if he is guilty.
Even if he's guilty, he'd be the first one ever to get released.
So was Haynesworth.
They were dancing. Your hands are flailing.
I don't care if he did
it. It's the forbidden dance.
You're judging on the degree of his guilt. I don't. He'd be the first Patriot ever to get released because he got arrested. Guilty.
Oh, I don't know about that.
First time? First time in trouble?
The drug dealer.
He didn't get arrested for that. I mean, he didn't get in trouble for that.
And Willie Anderson. He beat up his wife and got canned.
Two-time offender.
Really?
Never on the first try.
Does that rule hold true for
everyone
you,
gets a second chance.
Oh, nice.
All right. Let's Patriot take a quick break. We got a ton of emails. We're going to get right back to them right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEAT or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEAT.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the hotline, but I promise we get to the emails at webradio@patriots.com, so let's do that.
Wait a minute.
What?
What's this new forever lazy thing?
Oh, that, yeah.
It's like pajamas you wear out?
Yeah, now this one has a zipper. Can you imagine going out in one of those? You'd have to beat yourself up.
Right. Look at it. It's kids' footy pajamas or whatever.
It's terrible.
Did you ever...
But it showed a big black man tailgating at a football game with it like he's the coolest thing in the world.
Right.
There's not a real large black man on earth that would be caught wearing that.
Do you just wear like shorts to bed? You don't really have like pajama pants or anything?
Well, I have some that I rarely wear.
Do you, Fred?
What's that?
He wears nothing.
Like pajama pants?
We've been through this.
I wear my boxers.
Sans clothes.
Sometimes I go nude.
Like in the winter, I have pants.
And Nikki says, go put pants on.
I find it amazing how often I'll go to drop off
really
and pick up
nude?
The kids at school.
Yeah.
And sometimes. How many people have like pajama pants on?
Oh, yeah, I don't. Yeah. Wind pants I wear.
Well, that's the problem. I have like flannel pants, right?
Yeah.
I would always be afraid, like, to pick up the kids somewhere because if the car breaks down, now you're walking around.
Well, I have.
And, you know, that's so I always assume that something bad's going to happen, that I'm going to have to get
out. I have gone
out.
I'm not going to say I haven't gone out. So, like, I've gone to 7-Eleven to get a thing of milk or something like that. But to pick, I mean.
Let's turn the show on now. They're talking about 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
You've gone to 7-Eleven?
Yeah. Yeah. But to me, like the.
Do you wear your UGG slippers, too?
No, I don't wear slippers when I have to actually leave the yard. But.
Do you have the ratty
like yesterday,
V-neck
t-shirt? TJ had a Halloween party at his school. So we went at like 11:30. The thing is, at 11:30, we show up. There's two different moms with pajama pants on.
Were they hot?
No. You couldn't, like, the whole morning goes by. All right, dropping them off. You just, like, jumped out of the car. You brought your kid in at 8 o'clock in the morning. The whole morning you couldn't get yourself dressed?
Yeah, shows how easy women have it. Stay-at-home moms. Oh, you don't have to get out of your pajama pants.
There you go. Tiff on line two for you.
Do you really sleep nude?
Once in a while I do, yeah. Well, here's what it does. Like, especially in the summer, like if I go swimming, rather than put on, you know, boxers, you know, just to go to bed, I'll just go get right into bed.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
You know?
What do you have a wet dream?
I don't have those. I know you do a lot.
I haven't had one in a while, actually.
Well, I would hope. I mean, you are a grown man.
Pepsi on line one. What does that have to do with anything?
What?
No, I'm just envisioning tomorrow.
Oh.
I don't have wet dreams anymore.
Andy,
I mean,
from,
at some point,
Andy
you don't grow up and have those. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, as of a year
maybe
ago,
maybe like
I
once a year. You
I can honestly
like
say,
that.
And I know I'm not in the majority. I've never had one in my life.
Ever?
Honest
in
to God?
Life.
Honest to God.
Honest to God.
Well, you're missing something.
I swear to God.
Because it's like virtual reality. You're having sex or whatever.
I've had dreams
absolutely.
I mean, you
feel
see
like
these movies,
but it's never happened.
Really?
Yeah.
You're missing. You really are missing out.
What, soggy underwear?
Yeah,
I'm missing
no,
out on
no,
the
I could
feeling
do without,
of.
No, I could do without
yeah,
the
Yeah, the cleanup is not fun.
I could do without
well, that's the
end.
Only thing I'm missing out on. Cause I,
no, the feeling. You're legitimately having sex in your mind with whoever you're having sex with.
Now, this is great.
Right. No, really, though. Like, it's phenomenal. It's virtual reality.
I promise that I would.
I just can't believe, like, between the ages, like, 15 and 25, this didn't happen to you three times a month.
Never happened. Not once.
I guess,
did you always?
I guess my libido's a little bit different.
Did you always take care of business
before
bed?
Okay, let's Andy in Sioux City. I know a lot of people were dishing on the defense, and rightfully so.
Dishing?
Where was that high-powered offense? I was more disappointed in the offense than the defense because that is supposed to be our best unit. You have to move the ball and help keep our defense off the field. I thought they did a poor job adjusting to the Steeler defense and what they were doing. On the defensive side, why do we continue to play a certain way during a game when it consistently fails? Why not try playing man-to-man or a version of it?
This
I know
great.
We probably couldn't cover, but what do you have to lose?
We spent the first month, and this is no disrespect to the emailer because he's absolutely right, but we spent the first month of the season killing them. Why are we playing man-to-man? We don't have the personnel to play man-to-man. Why are we doing this? Now we play zone for a month. That doesn't work. Why are we playing zone? It's the players. It's not the emailer's fault. The emailer's right. Let's do something different. Let's try. I mean, I thought Bill did some different things. I thought they blitzed a lot more on Sunday, especially early in the game. Sims made a good point about that, one of the few, during the game when he talked about how all the way down the field till about the 30-yard line, then he stopped. Remember when he said that? He was going after Roethlisberger. They just weren't getting there.
Yeah.
And the middle was wide open. Then they got in field goal range, and Bill said, all right, we just got to tighten up and keep everything underneath and keep them out of the end zone, and they did.
Yep.
I would be a terrible quarterback because he goes three and out once, and it's his fault they lost the game. Had they not gone three and out, maybe a game would have developed there. But I went three and out once. I would go ballistic. Yeah. With that defense on the other side, I'd be the guy pointing fingers. That defense is the worst in the NFL.
Hi-ho.
I can have a three and out every once in a while.
Hi-ho. No one said they lost the game because of Brees.
Well, you people, there was a lot of dishing on the defense, but where's this high-powered offense?
Well, the high-powered offense.
So I have
been
to win every game
games.
By myself? Every game?
Well, the last eight quarters, they haven't really done much.
Easy no socks over there.
Paul writes, and if in your predictions last Thursday, I think most of you predicted the Steelers to score 24 points, and they got 25. So the defense held the Steelers at your prediction. A lot of this seems like a bad movie I've seen before. Third and 20, and the defense can still get off the field, still can't get off the field. If this is the same movie I saw last year, I expect the Patriots will lose any playoff game next spring. He doesn't use punctuation. Next spring, some of you will want whoever is playing Quinn in this version of the movie. Bill will trade down into the second round and take another corner and maybe an outside linebacker.
And then cut one and have the other inactive.
By the way, I can't hear you today. The after the game playback was fine. Okay.
Can't hear me? Why?
You know, here's the thing about...
I think it's because we couldn't do the pregame social.
Here's the thing about it. You know, I'm going to kill myself on this. I'm making this argument.
Right,
but
don't make it so
we were
serious.
Right that we all thought that the Steelers would score in the mid-20s, but that would be fine. But the problem is the Steelers, the way they played offense, also limited themselves. You know, they were happy to extend drives and score what they could. You know, that's part of the reason why. It's not like the Patriots ever stopped them. But that's
plus,
part
they kicked three field goals inside the red zone. So
that's good.
I mean, I gave the defense a little bit of credit, but you were a hair away from giving up, you know, another 12 points pretty easily.
Yeah, I thought Pittsburgh offensively was better than I thought they would be. But they ended up with the same amount of points,
I thought. They also didn't have the big play, I thought. I thought for sure they'd have one at least big
play. Well, you know what? I think Fred just said it. And I think that Pittsburgh said, we could probably get a play like that or two, but you know, it'll take us three or four chances.
Right.
We can't afford that. We want to keep moving. We want to try to stay in manageable situations, take what they give us, and control the ball and the clock. Because it required, I mean, what did Roethlisberger was 36 for 50?
Yeah.
That requires
a lot
of high percentage throws.
Right.
Even the best quarterbacks, if you throw the ball 50 times, that's a lot of completions in 50 attempts.
What's the record, 70?
70 attempts, he has the record for completions and attempts in that game. But it requires...
I felt like there was a shot coming somewhere. What was it?
I was waiting for you to take it.
I was thinking, but he took 100 passes to get...
The most amazing part of that game is no sacks, no interceptions in that game. But anyway,
any game with no interceptions is amazing.
It required a high percentage amount of throws, and I think that might be why they didn't take shots to Wallace, even though they probably could have gotten one or two of them.
You know how some people read the Bible every night before they go to bed? Paul reads the game book from that Bledsoe game.
I don't know.
It's also known as the Kevin Turner
game.
Andy
calls it the Kevin Turner game.
He made it.
Alex from Philly, where do I begin? Defense, offense. The Steelers beat us at our own game. They
special
spread
teams.
Us out and picked us apart. When we tried to do the same, we couldn't. Why? Because none of our receivers has the speed to get separation down the field. We need more than just tight ends and slot receivers. We need a burner that can get open. As for the defense... They were terrible as usual early, but they came on late in the red zone. I still don't remember if the Steelers punted at all.
Yeah, late, 21 seconds to go.
It didn't seem like they did. To me, this game was reminiscent of the Jets' playoff loss last year. Brady got pressured early with stall drives, and when he did have time, no one was open downfield. Could this be a foreshadowing of what will happen to us when we make the playoffs? You see, he did say when. Good teams will bog down this offense that lacks explosiveness, and our defense is not good. Bend but don't break doesn't work if the offense does not score. On a positive note, Kevin Faulk looked great out there. He looked like his normal self. All right, guys, keep up the great work and go Pats.
Did Hernandez, was he hurt after
that? I think he got banged
up. Limping?
Yeah,
because he became irrelevant, and he should be a guy that, you know, maybe you could turn to a little more often. He was gone. He was non-factor after an early. I think he only had one catch, right? He had a catch early, and then he limped back, and I don't know that he had another catch. Oh, he had the touchdown. That's right. He did have the touchdown.
Which
Nate Solder almost batted down, Paul. I missed that live.
Two catches for nine. He got knocked down. Did you see that?
Nate Solder's going down, yeah. But he's not that far from the ball, and he was trying to get it.
Yeah, and I was.
He could have had a pass defense.
I initially was saying, that's an illegal man downfield. And then I was like, I saw the replay, and he was coming across. He was obviously eligible on that play. That's
I think
that,
he thought he was throwing
the things
to him,
that
though.
You miss. They had him and Wendell were eligible on that play. The things that you miss when you're not, you know, listening to the referee saying 62 and 77 reported an eligible receivers.
It's not just when you listen to it. It's when you then have to go through your whole stupid little thing with Eric, your little gayness.
Rob from Marlboro, this email may not end well, but please bear with me. I have some observations of what I think are the Patriots' biggest issues. First, we, the New England Patriots, based in Foxborough, Mass., have a receiving group that can't get much separation from a secondary. And we have a secondary that everyone can get separation from. Next is tackling. Bill likes to get a deal on players based on the tackling. Guys with no arms might be cheap. How many times have we seen an opposing runner or receiver bounce off two, three, or four Patriots before being taken down? Let's add the pass rush to the list, but that does seem to be improving slightly. On the bright side, the O&D lines in running game have been okay, and tight ends and Wes Welker have been saving the offense. Which brings me to the ugly part. Don't get me wrong, I love the team and appreciate the winning that Bill has brought here, but there are some serious problems that never get fixed year after year. And still we're trading down in the draft looking for value, but these values seem to be going lame at an alarming rate. It falls on nobody but Bill because he oversees every part of it. The slide began for me with the Super Bowl loss. It was like learning Santa Claus doesn't exist all over again.
Ixnay.
Thanks for the great show, JETS, Jets suck, 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 and Andy is awesome.
Thank you. Who was that?
Andy's mother. No, it's Rob from Marlboro.
I love you, Rob. No.
Andy's all right at best.
Gentlemen of PFW and even Eric, unless he's
Fred, do you think
out
it's accurate?
For the day.
We were talking about, again, earlier, the whole, I mean, this rears its ugly head every once in a while, the whole value thing and the trading down. And what we talked about is the example I've always used, that Bill never buys the Sony. He'll buy three Vizios, even though he has to buy three Vizios before, you know what I mean? To get the same performance of that Sony, he'd pay $500 more for his flat screen TV. He gets those Vizios that are only $1,100, but he spends $3,000 on the three of them. Just like he, you know, Lee Budden. We can't go the extra difference for somebody good, but we'll give Lee Budden $22 million. We can't go get Julius Peppers, but we'll give Tully Bantakane, whatever he got, $18 million, right? If you put together all the wasted money, James Sanders, my guy, making way too much money. Put together all that wasted money and put it on good players? Oh, God forbid, I'd have to pay the whatever $80 million that Peppers got. Or
you're really missing Sanders now, too. This would be the time of the year where he would have started everybody else in the effort to move away from Sanders, and then Sanders would be reinserted into starting lineup to, quote-unquote, solidify things.
Right.
And he would. Don't give
and
him
he would.
A quote.
No, I'm saying
quote's not necessary. To solidify.
But the last two or three seasons, it's been the same thing. It seems like they're looking to move past Sanders.
Right.
And then
and now
six, seven, eight, ten games into the season, there's James Sanders in there solidifying things.
Well, you don't have him to kick around anymore.
You know, instead, you know, I don't know. I'm really frustrated with some of the personnel decisions. I am.
You know, part of it, you know, and again, we don't know, you know, maybe someday he'll sit down with Peter King or somebody. And
it won't be Peter King.
Won't be Peter King. No, you're right.
Well, whoever it is, he's going to say, I did what I thought was best in the interest of the football team.
That'll
be my colleague.
Maybe he'll actually, and maybe it's like, you know, I watch all these teams every year that, you know, they go for the talent, which is great. But then when injuries hit, as they always do every year for every team, you know, they have a depth problem. And, you know, my thing is, you know, I could go for the talent and hope that thing, you know, they stay healthy, but sometimes it's better to have a little bit of depth. But this,
they don't have depth or talent.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This year, they don't seem to have the depth either, particularly, you know, on the defense.
I want to stick with the value thing that Andy brought up, too.
Vizio?
Are they a sponsor? This past week, right, St. Louis, they traded for Brandon Lloyd. Brandon Lloyd goes out, catches a few passes, beautiful touchdown, the end of the first half against New Orleans. What offense does St. Louis run? The Patriots. Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, he's running the same system. So evidently it took him less than a week to get up to speed to at least be able to get out and contribute. He probably doesn't know the whole system. Yeah. He probably doesn't know the whole thing. But unlike Ocho, who has been here for more than almost three months, can't even get out and contribute a little. And wait a minute, I'm not done with the value here. We had an opportunity to make a deal, reportedly, by Chris Mortensen. And what happened? Why did it fall through? Well, we had to, you know, putz around with his contract and try to, because we couldn't, as Andy says, just buy a Sony. We had to get a Vizio instead. And now we're looking and lacking for outside speed to complement the things that we already have that we do well.
And you know what that was about? He's going to be a free agent. So they wanted to extend him to make sure they didn't just trade for him for half a season. Well, what if you win in your half a season? No, we got to tack it on. We got to get you a...
Who are we talking about?
Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, okay.
There was a report that Chris, now again, reports. Reports, not fact, Freddie, not fact.
Should we start all over and restart?
No, now. Not fact. Now Chris Mortensen reported that the Patriots were close to a deal for Brandon Lloyd with Denver, but fell through over contract issues. That's what he tweeted that out. Not fact. Who knows? Right. Maybe it's not true. But that's the report that was out there. And the way I look at it is if it was true, I'd rather have Brandon Lloyd for half a season if you have to lose him after that.
Yeah.
But we always have to get it on our terms. Everything's got to be on our terms. We need more talent.
Daryl writes in, gentlemen of PFW and even Eric, unless he's out for the day.
He's not out for the day.
Let me start off by saying, Bill, in Bill We Trust, having said that, what the hell was Bill thinking? Adalis Thomas was clearly a turd both on the field and in the locker room, yet he lasted the entire season. What did Bodden do that was so bad that it justified cutting him 2 days before a marquee matchup that was going to be a huge test even with all hands on deck? Cutting him and throwing Molden and Adams to the Wolves doesn't seem like the best interest of the team to me. Enough of that, though. How about a game of Who'd You Rather?
Brooklyn Decker.
And no, Andy, the answer isn't Brooklyn Decker. Actually, maybe it is.
Good.
That's what he said. Anyway, here are your choices. Number one, your lead back, who has scored more TDs since the start of 2010 than anyone in the league.
Is that still
true?
Over
the last three games, is running the ball as well as ever. Number two, so that's number one. Number two, a third-round pick rookie who has flashed big play potential all year. Or number three, your third-down back that hasn't been as productive as last year but has still been solid. Or four, a 35-year-old coming off a torn ACL. Of those four, who would you rather have?
Well, Benny.
Obviously,
I would have run the ball some.
On Sunday, Benny.
But he had the toe, so he wasn't maybe completely healthy.
Yeah, and now I'll say
he's
this.
He's out there. I get a his job is
the
to
35-year-old guy coming off of a torn ACL was more productive than your third down back had been in the previous six games. I'll say
that.
He
was fine. And more productive than Benny in his chances.
Now, Benny, option A for me would have been Benny on Sunday, but it was one of those games where I don't really think that they were wrong for not continuing to run. I don't think they had a lot of opportunities to do that.
I think they should have run.
See, I think early in the game when you're going three and out, your plays are down.
Yeah.
I just think Pittsburgh came out, they were using sub packages, and isn't that the automatic? I thought this team was like, we're just going to take whatever the defense gives us. And the defense wanted to give you a little run. Go run.
All right, but let go ahead. You go ahead. I'm going to
obviously I'm going to go with Benny on this one. We all love what Falk has been to this franchise, but come on, it's time to move on. Much like Bruschi, Harrison, and Vrabel, they were all great, but you got to know when to pass the torch. Unfortunately, I think Sunday was a case of Bill seeing Falk as he was and not as he is. As always, go Pats, and let's bounce back Sunday by getting some revenge for that game that shall not be mentioned.
They will. That's, by the way, the positive in this week. Big win on Sunday.
Let's see.
Just to kind of talk about, like the first drive they had, they threw a pass for 8 yards on first down.
Right.
And then they had a negative run on second down. Then they had an incomplete, so they're off the field. The second drive, they came out and they threw the ball on first down, and then they ran Kevin Falk on second down, and then they got the first down with another run for Benny. So the first three plays, they ran it twice. You know, and then they had a pass and then another run. And then they got a penalty on Pittsburgh for a first down, then another run, and then incomplete, and then a sack. And they ended up having a punt on that drive. So I thought early on they were mixing. Now, you could argue against sub packages, you had Kevin Falk in there, and he was doing the running. But if Benny's in there, maybe they have different personnel for Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
Maybe,
maybe they
That's
don't.
That's why I said you could argue.
Don't you try that? And they also, I mean, they threw on the first three first downs. Is that what you said?
But that's pretty typical, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But maybe it shouldn't be.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm the one that's wondering where the high-powered offense is. Now, Andy doesn't want to let Tom Brady throw it
first
down. If
we truly are game plan, take what they give us, and I come out and I see extra DBs on the field, well, maybe this is the week I run the ball a little bit. Especially against a team that theoretically
is
the number one pass defense in football and is middle of the pack against the run. So not only are they middle of the pack, they have an extra defensive back on the field, and yet they're the best pass defense with an extra defensive back on the field. In my, the open receiver is the only receiver for us type of offense, the running back would appear to be the open receiver.
Oh, wow.
No further questions.
There's plenty of further questions. I don't agree with all of that.
Steve in Albany says, I don't know where all
these... looking over your shoulder. What are you doing?
People wouldn't know that unless you said it.
Are you finished?
You're right, because you normally stumble that badly.
They wouldn't
can't
be
tell
knowing
the difference.
If some of the words were on the
well,
microphone
to be fair,
and off.
He does that all the time, so they don't know exactly what's going on. He could be grabbing a piece of pizza, rubbing his fat shoulder against it, whatever.
Fat shoulder.
I don't know where these haters like Anthony and Naples are coming from. The coach/owner tandem has a goal of putting butts in the seats, that's all. Kraft is running a business, and ticket sales are still fantastic. Gillette Stadium still has the highest ticket price in the league. If the goal was to win championships, and Belichick would be doing something productive from the GM position. Are we honestly expected to believe from these haters that a man who became a legend with his defensive mastermind has gone senile? Of course not. The idea is to keep butts in the seat with as little expense and overhead as possible. High ticket prices, low player salaries, mission accomplished.
No. They spend plenty of money. Yeah. I'm just saying they don't spend it well.
It's right. A business, and we still all watch the games with
James
Brady
Sanders
on offense.
Made $3 million.
They would rather have five $2 million players than one $10 million
right.
player.
Well, but here's the thing.
Same money.
I understand what Steve is saying, that you know they're doing well, and but let me tell you, they want to win championships.
And championships make money.
From Kraft on down, that's what they want, because they realize – that's what keeps your franchise going.
Right. That's how you make money, is to win.
You know?
And we're not saying the defensive coach went senile. We're saying the GM went senile.
Lucas says, yeah, the defense stinks, but man, Brady is bad. I said a few weeks back that Brady needs to
perfect. Don't roll your eyes, Paul. You're in full step and lock and whatever they say with this guy.
First of all, it's lockstep. But second of all, no, I'm not.
I said a few weeks back that Brady needs to be perfect more or less in any game we play if the Patriots want to have a chance, especially in the playoffs. Predict the remaining
schedule. So five out of seven's not good enough, damn it.
So, and he wants to give Taylor Price a chance.
I'll tell you who's going to have a field day. The man who just walked through the door. Nitpick Tuesday.
These
a
are the
special 10-hour edition of John Rook's Patriots.
These are the
playbook.
Days that were invented for John Rook.
Let's see. Kevin and Redding, that was an awful defensive game, but I think we all have to come to the conclusion that the D stinks, and I hope it can be somewhat average by year's end.
Won't be.
The last three games, better defensive teams, we have seen teams really clamp down on the two-receiver, two-tight-end package. We seem to be running that package around 90% of the time when the two tight ends are healthy. Not enough team speed with that set. I would like to see Price be worked into a rotation and take 30 snaps a game from Branch and the tight ends, reducing two tight ends and adding more three receiver sets by about 15 snaps. The only way Price will develop is if he plays. If he has a talent, play him.
Yes.
He will make some mistakes, but every young player does, just part of having young players.
So does
we
the
play
old
young players at other positions and let them make mistakes. Why not wide receiver? Cut Chad, a Jag we had in camp would be better. Suck it up, Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots.
Wow.
So.
But I agree with the Price part. We've already seen the old guy not know what he's doing and fail, and let's see the young guy
I'm
fail.
Fully on board with that. I closed the door on Ocho a long time ago, and
I'm now closing the door on the aberration game.
Yeah.
I don't even think that one's going
to
come.
I kept arguing with you. What is your definition of that one big game? Because to me, seeing him catch more than five passes in the game would be completely and utterly stunning at this point. Now he's getting targeted once a game.
Inactive. Healthy scratch.
The fact that he ran down the field with some guy I never heard of and couldn't get open, to me, was unbelievable. He ran a post route in the NFL with no safety help, and the guy beat him to the spot. That never happens.
He's done.
Imagine him trying to beat Darrell Revis all day.
Yeah, Darrell Revis would take a nap.
He'd probably get burned three times out of boredom.
I was actually thinking that. He'd be one of those tortoise in the hare things where he takes him so not seriously that he finally actually catches one.
Andy in Rochester says, this show is totally depressing. Can you maybe find some talk about Tim Tebow for a bit to provide some levity and cheer everyone up?
Tim Tebowing.com provides levity. That's the one thing I like that's come from this whole six-year Tim Tebow debacle that has ruined all of the quarterback position in football is that website. And now Stephen Tulloch is my favorite linebacker.
Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Andy, you're right for once. Fred, suck you it. Are missing out on wet dream sex. In the human mind, REM state sex while asleep is way more sensual than awake sex is. It's so hot, it's like the whole world explodes.
Well, jeez. At least in my pants. No, Fred, it really is, though, because
I just can't believe it never happened.
Who's your dream woman? I mean, that's who you'd be having sex with.
It's not like you could control it.
Yeah. You and Gino could be having a roll in the sack together.
you going hip to hip?
Hip me, hip me, hip me, hip check.
Tom in Nova Scotia says, you guys talk about Big Ben converting third and 20s as if he hasn't built his entire career on doing all that. All those years they had no running game to speak of and still won a ton of games. The real surprising thing is that they beat the Patriots at their own game and how they decided to mutate into a press man defense yes. with all their best pass rushers ending up out of the game. When I called in last week, I told you the O-line was more stable than the last time they played, and before you hung up on me, I was going to point out that Mike Wright terrorized them last year and that it might be a factor. The Polamalu play is illegal from what I've read. There just is no yardage penalty for it. Just
yeah, it's,
that
it's a 10-yard penalty.
Yeah, that if the Steelers ended up recovering, it would have gone back to the spot of the touch, not in the end zone.
Well, I think it actually turns the play into a touchback and a 10-yard penalty, so I think the Patriots would have had it at the 30.
Oh, I just thought it would be a 10-yard penalty from the spot of the bat, but you might be right.
I think they would have had
either
it
way, 30. I think it would have been another play.
Yeah, I think it would have been
there would have
30.
Been another play for the Patriots.
Did you notice the tone there, Fred? Before you hung up on me,
yeah.
I was going to tell you.
And listen, yeah, I remember the call. I remember he did say that about the offensive line, and I do think that Pittsburgh's offensive line was a little bit better. I thought for the most part Ben had all day to throw.
That was the difference. He makes his career on third and 15s by rolling out or doing something crazy. This time he just stood in the pocket and hit the receiver.
Dropping
when he
back
came
and
open.
Hitting the guy over the middle for 15
right.
yards.
I mean, there was no Ben Roethlisberger keeping it alive involved. It was
yeah,
a pocket quarterback.
I agree. And there was, you know, listen, in 55 dropbacks, he got sacked five times. That's not bad.
Really?
And we all know the last two were intentional because he was just running clock.
Good news is Andre Carter is now well on his way to Defensive Player of the Year honors.
Andre Carter, he's one of the few bright spots on defense.
Dan writes in, didn't think that Anthony's call was even reasonable. Mayo? Incredible. Based on stats even. Who drafted Tom Brady? We had some bad years, but recently our drafts...
What the hell does that sentence even mean?
What does Tom Brady have to do with anything?
And by the way, I agree with Anthony. I've yet to see Gerard Mayo do anything but be a tackle machine. I predicted him to be a playmaker this year. I thought he'd be in the will position. I thought he'd have all these opportunities. He's been a little hurt. But when was he a game-changing playmaker? When? Because I missed it. And anybody who says he's even close is wrong. Go watch Patrick Willis play, and you'll see what a true... impact middle linebacker drafted in the top 12 picks looks like.
If you don't want to,
I thought I went on a good rant. Do I need to do more?
And if you don't want to go and look at a top 10 pick and what it's supposed to look like, just look at middle or inside linebackers for the majority of teams around the league. There's somebody who flies to the ball and makes plays on a consistent basis.
Let's see. Preston says, are we tired of the same old story of this team? What is Bill doing? Is everyone on our team better than Clay Matthews and Pierre Paul and Dunlap and the guy that San Francisco took? I mean, come on now.
Dunlap's
when will this stop?
Well.
I've seen this movie too many times.
When was Pierre Paul drafted?
A couple years ago, right? It's his third year?
No, I believe it's his second year, but where did he go in the draft?
Oh,
we could have taken him?
I don't know.
And he's a defensive end. We were a 4-3 team back then.
Yeah. Well, that's another one of those things.
John,
like you,
South
like
Carolina.
You say, you know, give me Julius Peppers. Figure out where to, how to employ him later.
John in South Carolina, on Brady's throw to Price, you keep talking about how he missed the throw. Do you think it could have something to do with his offensive lineman getting pushed into him and almost knocking him down? I think that forced him to rush his throw.
He didn't step into it.
He was on the run.
He threw on the run. Yes, that is why the throw was bad.
Step into the throw.
Instead of stopping, setting himself and throwing and getting buried, which he would have in 2004, he kept running and threw on the run. And
I'm worried that our offensive line is getting beaten. And that is just a fan's view, or did that really happen? Is Vollmer making himself expendable, or am I being too hard on him? And Andy, please stop saying the truth is never mean. The truth is not mean, but how you express the truth can be mean. Here's an example. Andy talks over people and never wants to be wrong without regard to who it may concern. Here is truth being mean. Andy is a big mouth know-it-all jackass. Both are true statements saying the same thing. One is mean, the other is unbiased truth. Thanks, and Tebow sucks.
I think they're both unbiased truth. I'm okay with both of them.
I like that email.
I got my own show coming. It's called The Sports Jerk.
Another thing that I'm a little concerned about in terms of like the young players, how many of our young players seem to be regressing? You know, we've been talking about McCourty all year. Sebastian Vollmer.
Wow, has he regressed or has he been hurt all year?
Well, yeah, he's a little
rusty.
Did
you think he played better last year or the year before? And I know what you already think, so don't lie.
Well, I thought
he regressed from his rookie year.
I thought he was not very good.
And this year, when he has played, he hasn't been very good.
1.5 game yesterday. I mean, you're coming off
Jermaine,
a 5-week
absence. Cunningham can't even be active.
He regressed.
You know,
but a scheme change, which I think should help him theoretically. But
you know, I think there's a lot of young players that seem to.
So what do you say?
I don't know what. Why is it happening?
All right, well, that's going to do it for this.
That just gave us the breaks. We're done. Stop talking.
I mean, we're not on real radio. I mean, we were in the middle of something. We could have gone another 30 seconds.
You have to go to the potty.
I really don't think they needed an extra amount of time so John Rook can tell everybody how bad everything is.
Well, I'm not sure it can get much worse than our show. John, I just want to recap. Yeah. Fred opened with, it's not that bad. Then went on to agree with a man who said we may not make the playoffs. Says they are the worst of the worst, and their worst part happens to be the strength of the league in terms of the pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
We got to, it's not the defense's fault. They've taken enough criticism. Let's turn to Brady, because he had the audacity to do 1 3-and-out in the first quarter. God forbid he has a 3-and-out. I mean, that's what we went to on the show. So you need
guys
to,
just
so
like you know, over the place,
you need
right?
to
just
work
so
it up
know,
a notch.
The offensive criticism was about putting 10 points on the board, not about going 3-and-out.
The
once.
Offensive criticism.
That was a great way to just gloss over the whole game.
Well, that's what he does. All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Have fun, nitpick.
John Rook is here.
Nitpick.
John, anything special with this Tuesday edition of the playbook?
We're going to completely and totally open this up to those who need to continue to vent and want to come up with potential solutions, because I know we have fans, Fred, and I know you've heard from some of them, but I know we have fans and we have followers that have their own ideas about how this thing should get.
Well, a lot of them believe the price is right.
And the others, I forgot to tell you, want to fire Bill Belichick.
All right. If you see Anthony in
you
Naples.
You mean the emperor no longer wears clothes?
If you see Anthony in Naples on the call screen, make sure you take it, because otherwise I'm a little worried about it.
We'll see you tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for
for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.